Please. Oh, dear.
The writing is delicious.
Everybody loves dynamite.
Everybody keep cool. Everybody keep cool. Everybody keep cool.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Everybody loves dynamite.
It's the Don and Mike Show. And see what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Bill? Bill? Bill?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Bill. And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Mastermind and all the ships at sea. It's two actors looking forward to their generous back-end deal. Roger Hunnamo and Mike O'Meara.
Thank you, Rob.
Hello, and thank you for listening coast-to-coast and nationwide via Westwood One, the number one syndicator of a radio show in America.
Yeah.
Bravo! We come around the Westwood One, man.
We certainly have.
Love them. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Meara right here. That's why every day we insist you refer to this as your cotton-picking Don and Mike Show.
Please sample our over-ripened fruit.
Coming to you from the radio station that smells like a Ferengi's shoe, radio station WJFK in Washington, D.C.
Forgot to bring the picture down.
Yeah, bring the Ferengi picture down. Once again, I'm running out of time, so just let me say Ken, Jeremy, Mel, there's your chain of command. Soccer moms, please take Junior and Missy, move them way to the back of the minivan for look. I've just whipped this thing out.
Is that a tire track?
I have Mike, it's a scar.
Oh my God.
He's got scars, scabs.
How does it survive?
I am covered with them. Much overuse. Another perfectly executed over this big time major market radio show. Arbitron rated strong with 5 million kooky, crazy listeners nationwide. And
right.
Thank you for your patronage. Here he is to my left and to your right. Radio's Guy J. Leakey. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Here is our old friend Sippy, the Elston Slayer. And hey, everybody, it's Thursday, 14 October.
Oh, yeah.
Telephone number 1-877-365-3636.
All right.
Get to your phone calls momentarily. Today, for us, technically, it's the end of the week, because tomorrow we'll be playing the best of, because tomorrow, at this time, we will be stepping onto the set of King of Queens.
Yeah, pshaw.
Now, you know, I wish we could work it out to make it a live show tomorrow. We do have the satellite capabilities, but the problem is that the show doesn't even start to tape until 11 o'clock East Coast time.
Yeah, and we're going to be doing most of our taping while they're doing their taping, like behind the scenes, to give you a real feeling of what it's like to be behind the scenes at a sitcom.
Cool. So we're going to do it tomorrow. We're going to do the layout of the show tomorrow that will be played on Monday, much like we would a live show when we go out there with the little Marty, with the, and that's M-A-R-T-I, the little satellite dish.
Uh-huh.
We're actually going to start the show from the airport, and then we're going to, I think, probably get our cab ride over to the CBS TV station.
Absolutely.
And then from there, you know, we'll take you behind the scenes on King of Queens. We'll take you into the dressing rooms.
Some interviews with the stars.
We will take you into the rehearsal. I guess we get a rehearsal.
Right. Makeup. We'll definitely have to tell you. Well, I'm sure we're going to get makeup. You get makeup even if you're an extra, so we'll get makeup and we'll take the microphones into our makeup session.
And then we have our meeting with the director, you know, to find out exactly what we're going to be doing. And
when we strong arm him. When we go into strong arm him for our bigger roles.
I do make you this promise, Mike, that it may end up ruining the relationship with Kevin and Leah.
But you're going to try to steal a line.
I promise you that tomorrow night, when we are in this bar scene on King of Queens,
yes,
I'm going to say something.
Well, you know,
I got to do it.
You know, I'm with you, pal.
Gotta do it.
I'll tell you right now, if you're going to say something, well, GD, I'm going to say something, too. I'm with you all the way. If we're going down, we're going down together.
Right, and, you know, if they
we
want to...
We ought to coordinate. You know, maybe we have a little vignette, you know? A little vignette, unbeknownst to the director.
You know what? It always works best with just spontaneous.
Spontaneous.
Just, you know, I'll wait for the right moment.
Then I'll do it first.
Really? really.
All right.
We'll see what happens.
The right moment will come. And you know, besides on these shows, they do 15,000 takes on every single scene anyway.
It might be a little different because you got the live audience there. Might be a little different schedule. I think they're a little tighter on a sitcom because they get it all ready to go. Then they want to get that crowd reaction for the first time.
But they do go through and redo scenes, right? Because Rob's wife actually went to a taping of King of Queens a few weeks ago.
This is what really surprised me. She said they'll do like 4 or 5 takes of the same scene, and they will alter it a line or two each scene to try and get a laugh. But one of the hardest things for her, she said, was trying to laugh each time because, you know, she get to know it as well as the actors.
All right, so 4 or 5 times.
Lots of takes. Yeah, we'll pick our spot.
What was that?
Nothing, sir.
We'll pick our spot.
Even if it's something where we go, you know, we might even
say something.
Right.
I promise
you this. Like if there's a group scene where we have to go, all right, you know, who knows? We're going to be in a bar. Who knows what the scene is?
I'm positive they've already got it scripted so that we won't have any lines. Mm-hmm. So that we're just sitting at a bar. But even if it's you and I sitting at a bar in the background having a conversation, I'm already picturing in my mind's eye that during a down moment in the scene, I might say out loud to you, how about those Red Sox? You know, say something.
And then I'll say, well, I'd have to utter a profanity, and I wouldn't want to do that because I'll be depressed.
Or you'll be in a New York bar at the time.
Or perhaps we'll just look over and go, because Kevin's character is named Doug. Maybe we'll go, hey, Doug, how you doing?
Dougie Donuts.
Oh, that's the nickname for my nephew. Although that'd be a good nickname for him on that show.
Hey, Dougie Donuts. All right, how are you? Yeah, in New York.
We will be out there tomorrow, and we'll tape everything that happens, good or bad. And when we're actually filming our scenes for King of Queens, Rob will be featured off stage with a microphone, and he will be doing like golf commentary.
And now they're walking out there. They're holding hands.
Oh my God! They've unzipped their pants.
I'm really excited about it. I'm looking forward to this. I think we definitely had the initial contact with Kevin and Leah, where they've indicated that we wish we could give you more. As soon as she said that, we wish we could give you more, I knew that we were going to have to kind of scratch and claw for whatever we get.
Well, that'll be part of the charm of the show tomorrow that we do during the radio show when we try to strong arm Kevin.
You know, it'll really piss him off.
Into giving us a line on that show.
Really piss him off again. You know, you really want to get a laugh in this scene? Yeah. Tell me those evil eyes wouldn't turn to us right then, you know?
If you really want funny,
right?
Here we are.
Yeah.
Freaking frack.
What if it's a bar scene that was totally unrelated and we just all of a sudden we start wrestling? We start a fight, you know, a fight that was unrehearsed. And
something. No. Hold on, I got it. We're in the background, okay? And they're talking. Kevin's talking with his friends. All of a sudden, you and I act like we've just heard the funniest joke ever. And we do the spit take. And we do the spit take. Because we'll have that fake beer or whatever they use on TV shows, that near beer. And all of a sudden, in the background, go... Or you know what? I bet I could just make you laugh anyway.
Oh, I bet you could, too.
I bet I could make you laugh by just writing something down on a napkin and putting it in front of you.
There's so many possibilities. You know, and we're gonna play by the rules up until the point where we realize we're being completely shut out. And if we feel like we're being completely shut out, maybe we should just shut up about this.
All bets are off. No, it's not going to get back to it. Besides, we'll tell them the same thing tomorrow.
Right, absolutely.
We'll tell them up front, maybe.
I'm very excited about it.
No, it's going to be a hoot.
Cool.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Steal some makeup while I'm out there?
We will steal lots of stuff when we're out there.
I'm going to be the place where I play golf. I'm going to be in a haunted house, and I've been chosen to play Dr. Frankenstein.
Really?
So I said, I was trying to be a big shot with all these people planning the haunted house. I'm like, well, you know, next week I'm going out to CBS Television City, and I'm sure they have some theatrical makeup that I could probably lay my hands on.
I'm sure you're going to be able to get something. Plus, we're going to have a good scene tomorrow when we throw our hissy fit when we don't have director's chairs with our names on them.
And where are our chairs? Where are our chairs?
And don't you agree that we should both walk on the set wearing sunglasses?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. I was going to say the whole thing like with an ascot and everything, but that's like going a little. Our jeans will betray that a little bit.
You know what I did pull out the last night? I'm going to wear my Elvis sunglasses.
Ah, very good.
Remember we got
little
those
holes on the side?
Yeah, we got those down in Memphis. The official those big ass Elvis sunglasses.
How are you? Yes, sir.
And maybe one of those. What do you call know, those Tam O'Shanter hats. One of those golf hats that has that fuzzy thing on top of it, like Rodney Dangerfield wore in Caddyshack.
That'd be a good look. That'd be a solid look, like, hi, we're here.
We're ready for our big scene.
Yeah, maybe we ought to costume up before we go on there. Well, wear something to get noticed.
Well, we will certainly have the time to discuss it, being as we have a nearly six-hour flight out there.
That's what they say. Usually they shave a little off there, but they always have to say, you know, the longest possible time it would take to get to L.A.
So anyway, we're excited about that, and you'll hear everything that happens on Monday's episode.
Good.
Now, here is a guy in Baltimore who claims his brother was an extra on King of Queens, although I'm sure not a special extra like you and I would be.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, Dave. Hi, Dave.
How you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Yeah, my brother last week was on one of the episodes. He said that Kevin James was the biggest jerk in the world. He said that Leo was really cool to him, but Kevin wouldn't talk to any of the extras, and, you know, it was just like leering at him, giving him bad stares, and
Well, I wouldn't doubt that, but I got to think that Kevin's not going to treat us like that. We're his buddies. At least we're his fake showbiz buddies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, you know? Yeah, he's not important, I guess. So, but he...
How did he get a job? Does he just hang out and do that out in California?
Well, yeah, that's what he's trying to do. He moved out there. He just did a show.
Well, of course. No wonder he's getting the evil eye. He's one of the real nobodies. Mike and I are a step above that.
There you go.
That's right.
We're
a step above your standard Hollywood nobody. What?
I did a NYPD Blue a couple days ago and met Dennis Franz and said Dennis Franz was the coolest guy in the world. Mm. Dennis Franz actually went and got him a plate of food, and so I don't know.
Yeah, I think I've seen Dennis Franz on those award shows, and he seems...
And on talk shows. Seems like a very nice guy.
Cool. Right. When we met Kevin, you know, yeah, we were doing a radio interview, but when we met him in person, he seemed like a real nice guy.
He's always treated us real nice. You
and know, there have been people that have done those interviews that have been jerks.
They're going to treat us nice tomorrow.
Right.
You know, if nothing else, they're going to treat us nice because we're going to have the microphones with us all the time.
Of course.
They don't want any of their bad behavior on the radio.
This is true.
Right, but you pump up their show a little bit, so he's just a little peon, I guess.
Right. As I mentioned, we are one step above whoever your brother is, the extra. We're just one step above. Thank you, though, Dave.
Thank you.
Remember
that extra
that called the other day that wasn't that extra complaining about? What's that?
She was complaining about that guy that was Rock on TV.
Yeah, it was Regina, and she was concerned that Rock had a bodyguard.
I think that's why stars that are on these shows hate extras, because of that very reason.
You know what I think, Mike? I think you and I should hate all of the extras tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
We're a cut above. We shouldn't be locked inside of them. No, I can't do that.
Robbie, why don't you go find us some satin jackets? You know, we should wear satin jackets tomorrow.
Satin robes.
Hello. Boxing robes.
There you go.
Don and Mike.
Kimonos.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi.
I think you're becoming a little bit too much of what you're supposed to be taking pot shots of.
Pardon me?
Well, I mean, you're kind of, you know, you're radio people, and you take pot shots of TV and so on and so on. Now you're becoming part of the industry.
Yes, we are.
Yes, absolutely.
Moving on up to the east side.
Yes, of course we're loving it. What, are you an idiot?
Do you really think that we feel that we're moving into the TV ranks? Do you realize this is a one-shot deal?
And
we know that more than anybody else in the whole wide world.
For it, Dan.
Come on, listen, don't pop our balloon, okay?
You really think that we're going out there thinking we're like, oh boy, we're going to be included now in TV series.
We think we are Lucy Ricardo. I mean, come on, please. We are excited. We're going to Los Angeles.
We're flipping out there.
On an airplane without propellers.
Yeah, and then we're coming back the next day. It's not like we're out there, you know, and we're going to be establishing ourselves on the show. Yeah. We're extras. We're not even going to have lines.
Yes, we will, Mike.
But you...
Yes, we will. Don't pee on our Wheaties.
Goodbye. You got it.
Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Damn, you know, I've heard this from other Hollywood people.
Mm-hmm.
The regular folk who aren't show folk like you and I, Mike.
Yes.
They get so damn jealous.
I don't understand what it is. We've worked hard for our opportunities.
For our big break.
For our big break. When we saw that producer at the drugstore.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing great, thank you.
Great, listen, hey, I just pulled you guys' website up, and let me tell you, Don, you are gorgeous.
I am gorgeous, but we don't have a website, honey.
There's a Don and Mike website.
Yeah, but it's not an official website.
It doesn't matter. The point is, you're pretty damn good looking.
Well, thank you. I would tend to agree with you. Although I got to say right now, as I look at the picture, the charcoal sketch of the CEO of CBS, I would have to say that I am the second handsomest man that works at CBS.
He is gorgeous. Oh, is that your caller ID?
Oh, hello. She's gone.
No, she's gone. Gone.
And she's gone. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
How you doing?
Hey, how wacky would it be if we brought that picture of Mel with us?
How wacky would it be to be on the unemployment line?
Just a thought. I'm just throwing it out there, Mike. Yeah, okay.
Throw it out. Throwing it right back at you.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hold on. You know what? I got two lines together here. Hold on a second. Wait a minute. Hold on.
I like that picture just the way it is, right on the chair.
It's a great picture.
In the corner.
Hello, Don and Mike show. That is us on the radio, Mike.
That's always neat. Always very exhilarating to hear that.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
What are you planning to drink before you get on the plane for L.A.?
I've got a shocking piece of news for you.
Really?
I'm probably, due to the length of time we're going to be out there and the fact that it's an early morning flight, I'm probably going to go sans food. At least for the way out there. Maybe I'll have a couple on the way home. But on the way out, I just, you know what? We're getting there at 8 o'clock. They tape 8 o'clock Los Angeles
PM,
time,
but they want us to get to the studios directly from the airport.
It's I look at it really like a school day kind of. We are working, and that's just the way it is. So you're not going to, there's not going to be a chance where I'm going to be on the set of King of Queens. And if you see me going, you don't understand, that'll be my acting ability.
See Mike laying on the floor like you did at Leah's house. Not a chance.
No chance.
Hey, thanks, guys.
All right, goodbye. Not that I wouldn't like to. If that was a noon flight, it might be a different story.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Well, it's noon somewhere, Mike.
It is noon somewhere.
Yeah,
I get up at midnight.
Hello.
Yeah, you guys talk about the Don and Mike show.
Yes, we love talking about the Don and Mike show. It's our favorite show.
No, when you're doing the bar scene. Did you hear Don Mike today or something?
Okay. All right, thank you. Great idea. Hello, Sean from Lodi, California.
I just moved by, but man, Rock has been killing me late. I couldn't get on with you guys. I told him I was going to do the taping, but I just want to say, woo, Lord Truckers, I'm out.
I got about three words.
I'm afraid I heard him say he was going to be at the taping.
You know, we've had some people from California call and tell us in the past couple of weeks that they have tickets for the taping.
Well, good. Well, that's all the better. It's fantastic.
This guy, you don't want this guy.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hey, Mike, I had a premonition. They better not get on that plane.
Don't start this with him. Don't start this with him.
It was a dream before I even knew you were going.
Don't start this with him.
The day you guys blow up in a plane crash.
Thank you very much.
You're going to burn up.
Please, don't start this with him.
You're going to die.
Thanks for leaving him on the line, too.
Hung up his hat.
You just sprung for the phone.
Hello.
Absolutely. Don and Mike show. Flew at the phone like a gazelle.
Challenge, and I have William Shatner in the back of my white Bronco. He's okay, but he has a gun to his head, so tell the police to back off.
All right, well, everybody's doing their own bits today for us.
It's a weird day out there.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don?
Yes, I am. Hello.
What did you hear about the Chicago Hope show tonight, about them using the S word on there?
You know, I'm amazed. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm amazed that we get held to these rigorous standards.
Your buddy Mark Harmon that does it, too.
Yeah, and tonight on CBS, on Mark Harmon's show, Chicago Hope, I guess some kid dies or something on the operating table, and Mark Harmon says S-H-I happens.
And they did it because I guess it was good for the artistic quality of the scene.
They said that they couldn't say stuff happens.
Right. The censors said it was required. I guess the producers said this is required for the drama of the scene.
And I'd like to know why the double standard. Why there couldn't be dramatic situations on this show where we could drop the S-bomb or the F-bomb.
There are many each and every day. There are dramatic situations on this show.
Yes.
On another radio station this morning, they were saying the actual word.
Oh, I find that hard to believe. What was
it? No, they were. They said it like 6-7 times.
Oh, come on, please. They did not.
Yes.
Liar.
I will tell you, the radio station that was doing it on their morning show, it's DC local. It's DC 101's local show.
Oh, there's no way that DC 101 said S-H-I.
I was listening to it. I could not.
Well, then I urge you to call the FCC because it's about time that somebody else got their ass in a sling with the FCC besides us. Okay?
Goodbye.
Please. Please, ask for brains.
God. You know, everybody's got... Is everybody... What is it today? Is everybody, like, trying to help? Is everybody just... what's going on today?
Everybody wants to do their own show.
Everybody wants to do what we're doing. Everybody really does. I think that's what it is, and I understand that.
Well, it is a great gig, Mike.
It is a great gig. I guess that's a good thing. I guess you have to look at that as a good thing.
Sure. I got to admit, though, I was pissed when I read that in the newspaper, that they're going to get to say that. And because it's... And it's not even one of those things like it's on public TV.
I thought it was silly. I thought it was a little silly. I think the whole thing is silly. I mean, at a certain hour, I think like, what time Chicago Hope come on?
9 to 10.
9 to 10?
East and West.
I think at 9 o'clock. You know,
I think at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's okay. 12 noon on the West Coast.
Yeah, I think
it should be just like cable. I think it should, you know, just be like cable. If you're monitoring it as a parent, you just keep your kids away from certain things. And I do that every day.
I can't wait till we can cuss on this show.
Well, I think this show tonight opens the door for that a little bit. I think this is the beginning, so and you should see it as a good thing, I think.
The E! Channel was, doing a special on Anna Nicole Smith that I happened to linger on today. And I'm sitting there, and my two-year-old comes, trundling into the living room and just locks on to this TV right when they were going to. She spent years in Texas as a topless dancer, and they had the little thing where and I was sitting there. And
you mean like on Cops where they delete a guy's face? They were doing that to her nipples?
You know, and it was like the best. She doesn't understand what she's looking at. The battle I shouldn't be watching. And I finally had to succumb and go to the Food Network where that ugly blonde lady was.
That's what you do, though.
Right?
You know? I mean, that's all you have to do.
I wish. Oh, I would drop the S-bomb constantly on this show.
Mm-hmm.
The F word, if we could ever say that on the radio.
Right.
F and forget about it. I mean, that would be it. You might as well call this the F and F show.
It would be liberal.
Oh, you bet.
Yeah, it would be liberally used.
You bet. Nouns, verbs, adjectives, we would use it in all forms of language.
Do you think, though, you know, there's a part of me, because we use it rather frequently when we're off air, we
everybody does.
Well,
right?
Not everybody uses it like we use it. I think we're up with military people as far as the amount of it that we use. And I think it's because we have these strict guidelines that we have to go by on the air that we use it more off the air. At least that's what I've always
thought. Don't you think that guys in their everyday life, drop the S-bomb a lot and drop the F-bomb a lot?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Unless they're called on it. I get called on it at all.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't mean sitting around.
Do you get yelled at ever for using it too much?
Constantly.
See, my wife really just doesn't like that word to be used. And finally, it came down to the point where she was just saying, in my presence, when you use it in certain contexts, I don't like it. So I have to really now check myself. And, I was talking about something that the kid, it was a messy back of the car seat, and the car was messy in the back.
Did you say the S word?
No, I said the F word. I said, what the F have the kids been doing back here? And she played it back to me, and I realized that in that context, you know, that word, kids, it sounded real ugly. Yeah. So she had a point, and that's when I kind of backed off it, you know. But I still, like, or when the Red Sox score comes on or whatever, something
I've
like
used
that.
The F word talking about my son.
Mm-hmm.
To my wife, not to his face.
All right.
But you have? Sure.
Then I'm going to go right home and
it
now.
I'm not proud of that, but there have been times, you know, I've said to her, that little effer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when he's done something really pissed me off.
Yeah,
right.
See that? And she was playing that back to me, and I just had to back off, you know. And they were like, you know, these chocolate candy bars or something that were melting in the backseat, and I was just saying that, and, you know.
Well, but listen, the whole line has moved. I mean, have you heard this commercial we're running now for some .com company?
Yes.
It's some .com company.
Is it Stewart?
And they use the word ass. Like a million times in a commercial, they say.
Stuart, I've opened my Ameritrade account.
That's a good commercial, isn't it? With the guy with the rooster hair?
I've seen it 700 times. I never, ever get even the slightest bit bored with that. How can you watch a tiny little commercial like that and not get just a little bit bored?
The guy who's the executive is so good. He's so real.
Let's light this candle.
Mr. P, I got to go get a soda now, but I'm having a party this weekend.
And he brings that. How many of those have you gotten over the years?
Oh, those tons of them.
Xerox. And now, have you seen the one where he's at the pool?
Yes.
Where he's getting out of the pool.
Red sneakers.
I don't want to beat the market. I want to pummel it. Oh, jeez. I hope they're in advertising. They probably aren't, though. And everybody that advertises on our show is getting mad now.
But we run commercials here that say ass.
Several, yes.
Yeah. In commercials.
.coms, I think, are the best thing that's happened to advertising as far as the creative juices that are flowing on Madison Avenue now. You're getting a lot of really interesting commercials.
I know this. I know the .com. I don't know about that. But I know .com is the best thing that ever happened to our radio show.
Oh, yes.
I'll tell you why.
This is a lot more advertising in general.
This is one reason we're so happy now with Westwood One.
Mm-hmm.
The way it used to go on Westwood One was that they would get all these crappy-ass advertisers like Gold Bond Powder and this thing like a Hello Investors.
Right.
You know, if you put $20 into soybeans now, if there's a cold winter, you might get $100.
I remember those.
It was just junk. Mm-hmm. And they really didn't care about buying an audience, generally, on network radio.
Right.
They would just say, we got this crappy product. We want to put it on as many shows as we can.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that there's this infusion of .com businesses,
right,
they've come into the scene. They said, you know what? We don't want to be on the Tom Likas show or the Oliver North show.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be on a show that actually has people aged 18 to 49
right,
who really listen to the radio.
Right.
And all of a sudden, in the last year, We had a meeting with Westwood One. We were bitching at them and stuff.
Yeah.
And they filled out this paper, and they said, look at this. Look how good your show's doing. Your show is the number one biller at Westwood One now.
We were so excited. And you know what the reason is for that? These companies get, you know, they get immediate feedback if it's
right.
successful. That is, you know, I can use an example of a company like
Autobuytel.com.
They're a brand new sponsor.
Right.
They've gotten very good immediate feedback. And that's why, you know, and so it's like instant. It's almost better than, I know we can't talk about, but it's better than the way we are measured in general. You know what I mean? In this job.
Yeah.
Because you get automatic
immediate feedback,
and it's very cool.
So what's happened is all of a sudden, after 5 years, I know we've said this many times, that we were the best-kept secret at Westwood One, that we were the bottom of the garbage bin at Westwood One. All of a sudden, they realize that we have what the advertisers want.
Right.
And all of a sudden, we moved to the top of the food chain at Westwood One, which means all of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden, out of the blue, say, listen, you know what? You guys should be on in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle is the 18th largest market.
Right.
Right. Right? We tried for 5 years to get on in Seattle. All of a sudden, Washington 1 comes and says, hey,
bingo.
Guess what? We just got you a clear in Seattle.
So if Pierre is talking positively about Westwood 1, that's, you know, it's everybody's just a little happier now, including us, so
yeah.
That's very good.
It took a long time, but it finally happened.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, so we're happy with Westwood 1.
That's
great. You know, they made the commitment now that they realize that the show is decent. That they can make some dough on the show. Now they've made the commitment. They've moved us, you know, up on the food chain.
Cool. That's right.
So we're happy with them.
Very good.
And we're happy with the .coms.
Mm-hmm.
If we could say the F word, I'd say we're effing elated.
I'd like to interview Stuart. I really would.
That actor?
Remember when we interviewed, who's the guy we interviewed, the battery guy? Who's that guy that we interviewed?
Jacko.
He's right in that jacket. You know, he's not going to be around for a long time, but he's hot right now. And, you know, when they gave him the second commercial where he's in the pool, you know, let's interview Stuart. I bet he'd be an easy guy to get on the show, too.
Robbie, sure. Get on that, please.
Stuart.
Get a Stuart from the E-Trade commercials.
Yeah.
Hello.
Always can tell when he asks Robbie to do it that he's not coming on the show. You know,
oh, no. I mentioned that to Rob because. Who would you rather have that say, DeBroyhill?
I thought when you say it to Broyhill, you mean it. When you say it to Robbie, you know.
Something like that. If I say it to Rob, I mean it. Because if I say it to Broyhill, I'm positive that Broyhill has no idea what we're talking about anyway.
I bet Broyhill knows who Stewart is.
Okay, I bet you $5.
$5.
$5.
Done. I think this is a slam dunk.
Of course, now he's going to.
This is constant sports field.
He could lie.
Yeah.
He could lie at this point.
Now you're about. Hedging. Sure. You're hedging already.
I'll give you another hedge. He's pissed at me anyway. Because we had a big fight today already. But maybe he'll tell the truth.
All right. Waiting.
He's what? Oh, he's not around.
All right. Shocker of shockers.
All right, well.
Do you want to call him in the office?
Yeah, call him up, Robbie.
Here he comes. He's coming right in right now.
All right, here is Charles Broyhill, my good friend. Hi, buddy. Hi, buddy.
Don't break the picture.
I won't.
Okay, now, be honest. Do you know who Stewart is from the E-Trade commercials?
I do know the commercials. I don't know that was his name, but.
Who is he? Who's the character?
He's the guy in the pool, and he's also the guy in the office. When he goes into the boss's office and helps him trade.
Okay.
There you go, Mike. There's a five.
Well, you know why? Because they advertise a lot on sports,
just
right?
Set up.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. All right, thanks.
All right. He just took it out of my
hand. Okay.
All right.
Come on. What a scam.
I'm in that kind of mode. Red Sox lose, I'm always in that kind of mode. You just take advantage of it. You can bend me over right now, and I just be like, la, la, la. I'm kind of in a blue funk. I'm in a blue funk today.
Somehow I don't mind giving away money when I lose a bet. If it was like that $5 bill that I just gave you.
Right.
Was old. Old and ratty, and like had people's writing on it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow it like invalidates the money.
Yeah, because it's crappier money.
Yeah,
it's not like when you get in to go to a money machine, you get those
brand new ones. Ooh, that's nice. Ooh, that's nice. Yeah, so Broyhill yelled at me today when I came into work.
Mm-hmm.
He says, come here, sit down for a minute. I sat down. He says, can I tell you something? He says, you really pissed me off yesterday. I said, really? Why? I mean, Broyhill and I rarely have a real dialogue about feelings and stuff. He said, well, when we were at a Redskins park yesterday, I called him a bunch of awful names in front of Coach North Turner.
Oh.
Did you? I did. Well, when the tape recorder didn't work.
Right.
And when Broyhill said one of the words we can't say on the radio.
Right.
O.S. Yeah, threw his pencil down and just started to look at the tape recorder rather than, you know, say to North Turner, hey, you know, we're having a technical problem here.
Right.
So I was embarrassed, and I said to Norm, I said, well, you know, you have to excuse Charlie. He's,
Right.
And he was upset by that.
Called him some names.
Yeah,
sure.
Called him some bad names.
And he was offended by
he
it.
He was offended.
So well, I apologize. Well, you know, we've all got, you know, I think outside these, inside these gruff exteriors, we're all very sensitive people.
Oh, yeah, I apologize to him.
We you always know that.
I don't mind apologizing. Doesn't mean nothing to me. Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
No, I mean, I was, you know, I told him, I said, yeah, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. That I really meant. But right. Then I followed up by saying, you know, if you had said to Norm, hey, I'm sorry we're having a problem, you know, then I wouldn't have called you a name. I said, you know, I embarrassed you.
Because you embarrassed me. So it was his fault.
End result, yes. Yes, it was, Mike. But I apologize, because I really didn't mean to hurt his feelings.
Right.
I really didn't. And for goodness sakes, it caught me off guard, because I call him names all the time.
Yeah.
And it's not like he doesn't call me names, and like he doesn't call you names.
Right.
Like he doesn't give all of us endless crap.
We all get called names on this show. We get called names by each other. We get called names by the machine to your left. We get called names... There it is. We get called names by our listeners. You get used to it.
Yeah.
You really do.
You should hear the things he says to me. You know, I talked to him on the telephone. Mm-hmm. He tells me I'm an idiot and stuff. I'm going to call him up and I'll say, hey, did you get that call to CBS today? He goes, yes. Yes, stupid. Yeah. Yes, I did, idiot. Mm-hmm. Yes, this is the fifth time you've called me about this, moron.
There you go. Yeah, that's good. And, you know, it's friendly.
Yeah, no, that's good.
It's friendly.
Good nature.
Good.
It's fine.
Hello.
It's really not mine.
Hello.
It hurts.
Don Mike's
no name.
Don Mike.
Fine. No one likes them. We pretend we do, but we really don't. We'd all like to be calling each other sweetie. And
hello.
Lover. And hi there, cupcake. Of course we will. Well, then maybe that's me.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, what do you want?
How you doing? Hey, I was wondering, when you go to the soundstage for the show,
yes.
Do you think Kevin and Leo will introduce you to the audience?
Yeah, I think they probably will.
Yeah, you know what? I hope they do.
Probably will.
I really do. I mean, I'm not being facetious about this. I hope that they say we have, you know, our favorite DWGAYS.
Cool. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to salute just like that.
Like
I'm going to do that.
Like if you're on the pyramid.
Hi, how are you?
Dick Clark.
So long.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, you damn dummies.
Hi.
Hey, listen, you know, about the S word.
There's an example right there.
Yes.
I don't particularly care for that, but I let it roll off every day. Even though it doesn't really hurt, it's just, you know,
who really
likes being called a damn dummy? You didn't like it growing up?
No, I didn't. My brother didn't like it more than me because he got it a lot more than
Absolutely.
I did.
Absolutely, and we roll along. We roll along. I just thought it was important to point that out with this particular call. Okay?
Don,
go.
Sorry.
Hey, sir.
Don,
proceed.
I'm sorry.
Proceed. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Hey, listen, earlier today and last night, I heard two different songs.
I don't want to stop you again, sir, but, you know, and I normally don't do this, but you did say, Don, I'm sorry. You know, and it was really
Mike who was, took affront to that.
Well, I'm a damn dummy, too, so. But listen.
Yeah, but you see, let's just say you said, Don, I'm sorry.
Is there something you'd like to say to Mike?
Mike, you're pretty good looking.
Ah, well, so you're not going to apologize to me.
Okay, goodbye.
See you later.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I'm caller 100.
See, I appreciate your help on that. You pressed the phone buttons, and I felt really good about that.
Well, because you made me feel bad when I left the other guy on and said our plane was going to crash. Even in a roundabout way, I got to bring it all up again.
It's all even
now. But I feel balanced enough.
Balanced right now.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Hey, Baldy.
How you guys doing, buddy?
Hey.
Okay, yeah, I saw Tony Soprano. I don't know his real name, but he was in the Hilton gambling on the crap table.
Where are you calling us from, Las Vegas?
Yeah, from Vegas.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I had my
name? He's got a weird name.
His name is it James Santafini?
Gandolfini.
Gandolfini, that's right.
Gandolfini.
Yeah, anyway, I had my, my rent in my pocket, so he's playing on a $100 table.
You had what in your pocket?
My rent money.
Oh, your rent money, okay.
Rent?
Rent,
rent money.
You're not originally from Vegas, are you?
No, I'm from Texas.
Texas, okay. So anyway, you had your rent money in your pocket.
Yeah, and I went over there to play on the table with them. It was him and three other guys, and the bodyguards wouldn't let me play on there. So I was like, bad.
There's another person complaining about celebrities and their bodyguards.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although, you wouldn't think that that guy, Tony Soprano, needs a bodyguard. Who would want to pick a fight with that guy?
But, you know, at a crap table of all the areas of gambling, craps is probably the most delicate as far as people coming to a table. People, like, if you're on a roll, for example, and you're rolling a lot of numbers and everybody at the table's making money, another person injects himself, like, towards the end. Say you got, maybe you're real lucky, you got 30 rolls, 40 rolls, and all of a sudden this guy going, hi, what school do you go to? I mean, you want to kill the guy. You really do. I mean,
that's one of those games when I've been in a casino with Mike. I just stand there, and I swear to God, I have no idea. I just give him my money, and I say, go ahead, Mike. Hey, do you remember that time that we stood across the casino and we watched Alan Goodman playing craps?
Funny thing. It was roulette. He was playing roulette.
Oh, it was roulette. We must have spent 20 minutes. This guy was our general manager 15 years ago.
So, I mean, we are standing in the middle. You know how it is in casinos. You got those big aisles. We are standing in the middle of this aisle, really, for 10 minutes, staring at Alan Goodman, who had his lower lip protruding and his mouth was wide open.
And he's putting all his little chips around.
He's really deep in thought. We must have looked like two idiots ourselves, standing in the middle of the casino, just buzzing and laughing at him, watching him playing roulette.
He was just so focused. It was like the most focus he'd ever shown for anything in his entire life.
Hey, Don, Mike, about that last comment, you're on your own.
Now he's in Ohio.
Right. Yeah, now he's in Columbus, Ohio. Somehow that's fitting.
Absolutely.
Somehow that's fitting. Raising his second family.
All right. I want you all to know, you're Buckeyes now.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi there.
Hey, Don, why don't you just tell Charlie, hey, I can do this show with you or without you.
Well, I believe he knows that. But thank you, sir.
Okay.
Listen, everybody gives everybody crap on this show.
Absolutely. And you just, occasionally, you got to work things out. That's the way it is. And that's why Charlie came to Don. And that's why, Buzz comes to Don, or right. Don comes to Buzz. You ever come to Buzz?
Never.
Okay. So.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I'd like to talk to Don and Mike.
Yes, you're talking to us. Hello there.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Swan Man. I'm on break right now.
You're a what man?
Swan Man, Don. It's a frozen food truck. They have ice cream, steaks, meats, and they're out there. It's kind of like country folk.
Okay, bonus. Thank you for that.
Yeah. I'd like some free deliveries after that.
All right. Sounds good to me.
All right.
What can we do for you, meat man?
Well, I just wanted to let you know I wanted you guys to have a great trip out there.
All right.
I'll be looking for you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Take care. Uh-huh. Bye.
Meanwhile, I'm sure all that meat in his truck right now is just rotting.
Totally. Absolutely.
Smelling.
Those trucks, have you ever seen a Schwann's truck?
Never heard of it before.
Rob will know a Schwann's truck. They look seriously like they're something out of the 1930s.
Yeah.
Either it's a design that has never changed, or they really are legitimately old trucks.
Never heard of it.
It looks a lot like an armored car from like a comic book.
Right.
It's got that total box look, and they're yellow, and it says Schwann's on it.
And it's got the little chrome handlebar freezer doors that they open on the sides of them, and they're boxy. And they're
Pleasantville, man. I've never heard of that before.
Never seen them?
Never seen
them. Big refrigerated truck. It's a fun truck to look at. It's very unusual when you see it on the highway.
You know what I don't like seeing now, as long as you're on the topic?
Hey.
I hate seeing good humor men in minivans.
Yeah, I
like the old good humor trucks that used to drive around with the bells, and now these dorks are in minivans, and they don't even have the bells.
Right.
They have, like, that electronic thing that they push where it goes,
a Schwann's truck is like a larger, old-fashioned good humor truck.
Yeah.
And not the Mr. Softy trucks.
I know what you mean.
Talking about the old little box rectangle
what you mean.
Yeah,
right.
Great truck.
Ice cream man.
Ice cream man. Do you have any... I have a memory when I was so little that when I couldn't read. About when I was 16, that I would actually point to the picture instead of being able, what would you like? And I'd go, that one. And it was always strawberry shortcake, and I never knew it because I couldn't read it.
Oh, look, here comes that boy with the special shoes. He's going to want the strawberry shortcake.
That's right. And then he'd give me the strawberry shortcake. And I always say something nice. The good humor man in my town was always real nice to me. He'd always say, I'd point to the strawberry shortcake, he'd give it to me, and then he'd say, good luck with your junior year. It's real exciting.
My good humor man touched me.
Bad touch?
Touched me in a bad place.
Oh,
buddy.
No.
Bad place.
He had cold fingers, too.
Free ice cream. He gave me a chocolate eclair. He gave me a chocolate eclair. Okay?
Oh, you.
Hello, this is the last call. Don and Mike show. Hello. Why do people delight in just calling us and playing us music over the telephone?
They can't. No. We have to
really
be curt with them because time is of the essence.
Yeah, like we've never heard the Pulp Fiction music before.
I don't get it.
All right, well.
All right, goodbye.
Listen, on today's show, I want to mention that yesterday, you know, the secret sound thing is growing hair.
Oh, yeah.
And today it's up to $800. Scratch that. $900.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
$900.
That's almost up at the top.
Yesterday, we had a woman come down at the very end of the show after we had already shaved a couple guys' heads and given them the reverse mohawk.
Right.
We sent her away and asked her to come back again today.
Good.
Yes. Any of you male or female geniuses who feel that you know the secret sound and you can't wait your turn to call in for $900, you can come on down, and if you're wrong, you get your head shaved. I do want to throw this out, though. This is for ladies only.
Ladies only.
Ladies, if you think you know the secret sound and you just can't wait to call in to win like everybody else, and you got to come down here, if you get it right, we will double the money.
Man, oh man, oh man.
But if you get it wrong, you get the same reverse mohawk haircut as any guy would.
So it's up to $900 now.
Yes.
So you're saying $1,800 bucks?
$1,800 bucks.
Ooh.
The woman who's positive she knows the answer comes down, gets it correct, she gets $1,800.
Oh!
But if she's wrong, she gets the reverse mohawk. And incidentally, girls, same rules as guys.
Mm-hmm.
No short haircut, no Peter Pan haircuts for girls.
That's right. You got to have a, the lovelier the better.
Yeah, girls with, you know, with girl hair.
Right.
Okay? Because I'm sure we'll have some of them come by. I know we'll have guys come by today.
Sure.
We had guys waiting in the lobby when we got done last night.
Yeah, there are lots of guys like, I don't care.
Right, but I think it'd be more interesting with a girl.
Sure.
Have a double steak.
Wow.
Right. Okay, but now here's a chance for everybody who doesn't want to get their hair cut, just wants to play the game fair and square, call in, get your shot at $900.
Wow.
With secret sound number 5, the impossible sound. Good luck, be the 100th caller right now at 1-877-365.
Caramel, dude. Hi, what'll it be?
If you live in York, Pennsylvania,
boy, are you lucky.
4 o'clock, and you're listening to this show on WOYK and WPDC.
All right. From the producers that brought you Messy Girls, it's the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Rob, why don't we get rid of this Play Misty For Me tape? And the only Play Misty tape in the rack should be the one that has us interviewing.
You have to be such a tasteless bastard.
Yeah, that babe that was actually asking him to play Misty for her.
The only reason I think we kept that around was for the historical, you know, for years and years and years, it was every disc jockey, you know, anytime you get a crazy listener, play Misty for me, that. But it's so dated now.
Yeah.
There
was nothing funny in that. Right. The other one, though, the other one is the tape that I like, where we spliced in our interview with her.
Right, Jessica Walters.
While she was actually screaming at Clint Eastwood, you have to be such a tasteless bastard. Get out of here, man.
Where to?
Go.
Go.
And then the car speeds away.
Great.
Oh, that's good. Call her 100 times. You know, it's an awful Clint Eastwood movie that I made the mistake of renting the other day?
What's that?
True Crime.
Is it horrible?
Do not waste your time.
Bad, very bad.
And here's why it's bad. It's not bad because of the plot of the movie, which is okay, where
right.
he plays a newspaper guy that finds out that a guy who's on death row really didn't commit the murder.
Right.
What makes the movie awful is that in the movie, Clint Eastwood, his character, is a big womanizer.
Oh, really?
And like in the opening scene, he's in bed with the boss's wife.
He's like 80 now,
yeah.
isn't he?
And he has this reputation of being this guy that bangs like 1,000 women because he's so irresistible. And you look at him, and I mean, Clint Eastwood used to be a tough-looking macho guy.
And right. Clint Eastwood is still in very good physical condition. Unfortunately,
well, no.
He's skinny, and he looks old man skinny.
You got to see him in this movie with his shirt off.
Really? Mm. He's not as taut and toned as he used to be.
Let himself go a little bit.
He used to be so dreamy.
There's one scene where he's hitching his pants up, and he's got this little belly happening, and he's got that thing now where his arms look so skinny on him and everything.
Kind of sag and all that.
Yeah, I'm watching this thinking, I can't believe it. What 40-year-old woman would want to go to bed with Clint Eastwood?
Get out of here, man.
Where to?
Go.
True crime. Do not rent that movie.
Horrible movie.
Awful. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don?
Yes, and Mike. Hello.
Is this caller 100?
Yes, you are.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. What is your name, my friend?
My name is Steve.
Hi, Steve. Where are you from?
I'm from Manassas.
Steve, you are caller 100. You've won the WWF No Mercy prize pack. Cable, top event, pay-per-view, WWF No Mercy this Sunday.
All righty.
Everybody else, call Cox Cable, top event at 378-8888 to order WWF No Mercy. Okay, are you ready?
Yes, indeed.
To be one of the regular All-American callers who just calls in to win the prize?
Yes, indeedy.
No head shaving, no getting to the front of the line, no cuts.
That's right.
Here we go.
You think you have an idea of what it is?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, once again, my theory that every guess is a clue for you may not pan out. For $900, sir, please name this sound and don't answer until Mike sings like Hank Hill. Good luck.
Caller, name this noise.
There it is. Just think about all of the things you could do with nine Benjamin.
Oh. Yeah. Wow.
I know we all enjoyed that little twist at the end.
Thank you. I try to keep it different. I try to keep it fresh.
Keep it fresh. Keeping it real.
Keeping it real.
Keeping it real.
What is it for $900?
Is it a... opening a soda can?
Would you repeat that, please?
Is it a pop top on a soda can?
Oh, we're sorry.
Absolutely not. Thank you, though. Thank you.
Alrighty.
Hold on. Well, you know, that's a guess we hadn't had before.
Yeah, it's not like some of the guesses that we've had 3 and 4 times.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you want to shave a guy's head real fast?
Yes, I do.
Okay, he's in the lobby.
It's your turn, though.
Yeah, my turn to shave.
Right.
Robbie, bring him in.
Got it.
Got another one of these guys. While we're waiting for the guy to come in, I want to give a quick hello. I got a phone call today in the office that just blew me away. Colette calls up to the office and she says, hey, Don, there's a girl named Karen Raggy on the phone for you.
Karen Raggy?
Right.
Hmm, interesting name.
And I stopped for a second, and at first I said, no. Then I said, oh, wait a minute, hold on. I'll take that call.
Mm-hmm.
Karen Raggy went to Hononega High School, where I went to high school outside Chicago.
Right. Oh.
And in the 10th grade, she was the hottest friggin' girl. She looked just like Olivia Newton-John.
Really, turbo hot.
And I mean, I must have asked her out, I am not exaggerating,
mm-hmm.
20 times.
Right.
I asked this girl out, and 20 times she said to me the same thing over and over again. No, you know what? You're a nice guy.
Uh-huh.
You know, I just want to be friends with you.
Right.
And once she even went out on a Mercy Day with me, where we went to Farrell's. You know that ice cream place?
Yeah, yeah, I remember Farrell. Great place. It's not around anymore, right?
I don't think so. Where if it was your birthday, they would bring out a big giant ice cream sundae. They
right.
They carry it like on a stretcher out to you.
Farrell's was a cool place to go for birthdays.
So I still to this day, how old am I? I'm 41. I still remember Karen Raggy, how hot she was.
So she just calls you out of the blue?
She lives in Everett, Washington.
Really?
And she listens to us on KRKO.
That's got
to
be
wow.
Is she married?
I don't know. I didn't even ask.
Oh, you played it cool.
Didn't
huh?
even ask.
Did a little the old hard to get.
Said, hi, nice to hear from you. She says, well, you know, it's been so long, and I heard you talking on the radio. Finally, I figured out that you're the same guy. I said, yeah, yes, I am. And I got just a bit of satisfaction.
That's a good
sure.
thing.
When I just said to her, well, it was, you know, nice talking to you.
Well, did you get the impression during the phone call that perhaps she was interested?
No, absolutely not. I don't think so. She just called just to say, hey, are you the same guy?
Uh-huh.
And do you remember me? And, of course, I had to curb the influence and jump up and down.
Right.
You know, say, do I remember you?
It's you. I love you.
She's so hot.
Right.
She was so hot. I asked her if she looks the same, and she said, yeah.
Yeah. Very cool.
I said, call the show sometime.
She would be our age, though, right?
Yes, exactly our age.
Okay.
Told her to call the show. She said, why would you want me to call the show? I said, I thought it would be interesting. I really do. To hear her call and
and tell everybody how pathetic I used to be with this girl.
Right?
Well, I mean, I would ask her every week. She was
you were persistent. That's a good thing.
She was on the pom-pom squad.
Wow.
She was on the yearbook staff. She was the homecoming queen 1 year.
Really?
Every week I'd say, hi, hey, Karen, you know, could we go out sometime? She always, no. And she always did.
She had another boyfriend that she did, like, put out with and everything?
I don't know if she put out or not. That I don't know, but I do.
That's the worst feeling of all when you're, like, kind of like friends with a girl in high school, and then she starts dating another guy, and then, you know, they come out of a room somewhere and say, oh, no.
I do remember that she would always, like, touch my elbow when we talked, and I always thought that that was a sign.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would always leave rejected thinking, but you know what? She touches me all the time.
You know, I wanted to tell you something. She's
right.
A toucher.
Yeah.
Right. Probably comes from a family of touchers. It absolutely has no sexual significance whatsoever.
I don't think so. So if she calls in, put her right through, Rockhead.
Right on.
Love to talk to her. That was just a little bit of personal satisfaction for me.
Very cool.
Sure. Like, hi there, Karen.
Karen, how you doing?
How you doing now, you house frown?
Because
you're a big old dumpy cow.
Now, that's not nice.
Probably.
What if she is listening right now?
Probably married to some...
She hurt you.
Married to some loser, stop, slow construction guy.
He hurt you.
I got a big cottage cheesy ass now.
He hurt you bad.
Wish you could be my wife. Forget about it. About it, Karen. Forget about it. How you doing, sir? Welcome to my therapy session.
Hello. Hi.
This is, what is your name?
Jeff.
Jeff, where are you from?
Fairfax.
Mike, who is the celebrity that you think Jeff most resembles?
He's got a face that you start thinking about celebrities he most resembles as soon as he comes in here. A little bit like maybe David Hanlon with long hair. Or David Spade a little bit, just a little from the side.
No, I think you're right about that, but a little David Spadey looking.
Mm-hmm.
He does have long hair.
Right.
It will be a pleasure to give you the reverse mohawk. Now, do you think you know the secret sound, really?
You look confident. Now, hey, this is radio, so we'd appreciate your answers to be verbalized. Yeah, you do, and you look very confident. Are you confident?
Yes.
Very good.
Okay, what do you do, sir?
I'm a courier.
And how old are you?
29.
It's our second courier. That's right.
Couriers must be hard-pressed for money.
We took an eyebrow off a courier the other day. You wear that thing?
Yeah, I heard.
Right, have you thought how goofy you will look with a reverse mohawk?
Oh, yeah.
You work with that courier?
No.
You guess? Okay, you don't know him. Okay.
Okay.
You don't go to, like, the Courier Associations of America. Right?
Good luck to you. Here you go. Same deal as the caller. Please don't answer till Mike sings like Hank Hill.
All right, here we go.
Caller, name this noise.
Here's the noise. Okay, this guy scares me a little bit because he appears to be outwardly so confident.
It means nothing.
Yeah, I bet he's wrong, too. So we'll find out. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
$900, sir.
What is it?
Is it a childproof cigarette lighter?
Oh, what the hell is that? Well, I have two kids. What the hell is a childproof cigarette lighter?
Oh, it's a cigarette lighter that has, like, a safety latch on it so the kids can't come
most
up
of them have that now.
Right. Did I fool you with my facial expression, though?
A little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Are you disappointed? You really thought you had it.
Shaking.
You really thought you had it, didn't you?
I really did.
Well, I guess you wouldn't be here if you didn't.
100% wrong. Step on over here, son.
All right. Time to get nailed.
This guy was so focused and so intent.
He wasn't so intent that he didn't bring a hat, though. And he's not wearing a hat today in general because I can tell he doesn't have hat head.
Right.
I'm starting to get a little bored with shaving guys' heads. There's going to have to be a different punishment for guys.
Okay. Not shaving anything else, though, are we?
Oh, no, absolutely not. But there has to be something else we can do.
Yesterday you brought up the idea of quadrants.
You're shaving from one ear to the other.
Right. But like, you said a reverse mohawk.
This guy gets a reverse mohawk.
So the next person that comes in here will be aware that they will get it across the
side
ear to
side, ear.
Uh-huh. That's right. And I'll have the pleasure of doing that one.
And Robbie, I want to do this. I want this
all the way forward, Don.
Like that, Mike?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Forward.
And then it's like this, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
And you want to kind of like level it, you know, like your. Let me just show you real quick.
Well, I did do one myself already.
Across the hairline.
Right.
That so it's like level with the hairline.
Okay. I did do one myself. It did look pretty good.
I know it looked good. The end result is just this will make it go quicker.
Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, step right up here to the microphone so we can get the sound.
There we go.
And
see, you're much better with that. Look at that. Look at that. I think you're going to have to go on the back now.
Hold on. I got to give him another swipe.
Turn around. I got to do the back.
This is the best one yet. This is the best one yet.
Da-da. But now, hold on, you have so much hair in the back.
You don't look bored. You look very much at home, holding a guy's head and shaving him.
In a
damn, this guy's got, hold on, I got to, this is a three swiper in the back.
Yeah, he's got a lot of, he's got a thick head of hair.
God damn. Yeah, he's got hair.
Very good.
All right, I think that's close enough.
Yeah, he, well, he's definitely.
Well, wait a minute, Mike.
Yeah, why don't you go, yeah, go one more right up there.
Right in here?
Yeah, down. Start, yeah.
Push. Pulling won't do it.
No, pull. You want to go the other direction.
You got to push, yeah.
Quite a trail, quite a path.
Well, all right, down the middle. There
all right,
go.
There you go.
That's nice.
Okay.
Perfect. All right. Oh, man.
Let him wipe his hair off his neck.
He looks like he got hit by lightning.
Oh, God.
Oh, Jesus. Oh,
that's the most devastating yet.
And your response, sir.
It's beautiful.
You guys are so cool.
You know, guys, really, man. How old are you?
29, he said.
You're 29. I mean, you just come in. He doesn't give a rat's ass. He's a courier. He'll come in. It'll be cool. I bet you're not even going to wear a hat after a couple of days.
Are you going to shave your head?
Yeah, he's going to shave his head.
All right, we'll get out of here.
All righty.
Thank you, my friend.
See you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See you around.
You know what I enjoy almost as much as it, you know, having to miss it? It's the attitude they have when they get shit. It's like, yeah, I'm happy. I'm just happy for the experience.
Right. You know, I'm amazed.
Yeah.
I'm amazed that guys take their medicine so easy. Like, yeah, okay.
I'm waiting for our first lady.
Yeah,
is the lady going to get it from ear to ear?
No, the lady will get it right down the middle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's got to be it down the middle.
Because
mm-hmm. ladies could do funny stuff with their hair to, like, hide it from side to side.
That's true. Really long hair.
But the next guy will get it side to side. And for ladies...
Ear to ear.
Yeah. Ladies, it's double.
Right.
Meaning that you'll play for $1,800
mm-hmm.
if you're so positive you got the secret sound.
Very good.
Because, you know, I don't know. I guess I'm not bored of it anymore.
I know. It's fun, isn't it?
It sure is fun.
It's lots of fun.
It sure is.
We ought to really take pictures of everybody, put a little collection of people together, you know, that we've had that done with.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. That is a bad connection. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, guys, I got a Clint Eastwood observation you brought to my mind. He's starting to look like Don Imus, isn't he?
Yes, I would tend to agree with you.
He's got a long way to go before he looks that bad.
Oh, you know what? When I got home from carpool today, when I was flipping around, I turned on Imus' show because, you know, it's on MSNBC.
Right.
It's the funniest radio show to watch.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Because the guy is... as boring as he is on the radio, he's 100 times more boring on television.
When they go to commercial and they literally don't speak to anybody, and you see them going, maybe.
And Larry King inflating his penile implant.
All right, goodbye.
Listen, so here's the story.
Here, I got a theory behind why Imus is doing this.
Uh-huh.
You know, our station in Sacramento just canned him,
uh-huh.
and they put him on a country station.
Right.
Okay? And lots of stations are canning Imus and putting him on country stations now.
Uh-huh.
So today when I got home and I'm flipping around the TV, I go to Imus, and he said, he's doing this thing going,
you know, I really like the Dixie Chicks. The Dixie Chicks are fantastic.
Oh, you know that's somebody coming into him and telling him to say that.
So he says,
let's play a song by the Dixie Chicks.
And so for 3 minutes, the camera is on this guy. Well, he's playing a friggin' song during a talk show, okay? He's playing a song, and he's sitting there.
Just motionless,
he's
right?
Like a statue.
Eating sunflower seeds?
Doing nothing. And at one point, they're so bored that they're trying to get a shot of him tapping his fingers or tapping his toes that they go to a close-up of his hand.
His claw, his talon.
Age spot all over these old, wrinkled, tired hands.
Zooming on his hand.
And then they go off him and they go to the news guy. Now, I'll give the news guy credit. The news guy's looking at himself in the monitor going, Christ, I'm on TV. And at least he's like bobbing his head, like pretending he likes the music.
Hey, this is terrific. Yeah,
and at one point he actually says something, you know, now you can't hear because the microphones aren't on, but you see him go like,
this is really good.
And Imus is just sitting there like he's waiting to jump in his coffin. Absolutely stone-faced.
Right. He is something. I mean, that is really, that for only one reason. It's so bad, it's funny.
I mean, I've seen him do boring stuff there before.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there is nothing more boring than for 3 minutes watching a disc jockey sit in a chair motionless while he plays a record.
And he really is. I mean, he does look like he's waiting for the mortician to come through the door.
Oh, and obviously, it caught the people from MSNBC off guard. Because
They had no idea what to do. I mean, I'm watching this. I'm thinking, why aren't they going to commercial or something?
Right.
And instead, they finally, some genius decides, you know what? Let's go to a close-up of his hand.
Right.
Maybe we'll be able to get a
picture. Is his hand moving at all?
No. His hand not moving.
Of course.
His hook.
Oh, it's so funny.
Just I swear to God.
So funny.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. I'm a...
Hey, how you doing? Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
I am really pissed off, and I really want you... I just need a gripe. I called the Jack Diamond show this morning, and...
That's your first mistake.
Yeah, there's no... I mean, right away, that's terrible judgment.
Well, first of all, the announcer... I'm a really big Hootie and the Blowfish fan, and they announced that Hootie and the Blowfish broke up. So I called them and asked them, and they wouldn't, like, give me the time of the day. So, like, I called back a couple days later...
Give me the time
later,
of day?
They wouldn't give me the time of day. So then... I called back because I had a question. I wanted to help them out with some charity stuff. And they screamed at me about when to get on the air. And the guy was a real prick. And I mean, just an absolute...
Who was it? Was it Harvey you were talking to himself?
It was that guy Jimmy.
I don't know who that is.
Would you have ever called our show if you hadn't had a bad experience with their show?
Okay, well...
Tell the truth. I want an honest answer. Don't spin it.
Yeah, because I called your show before.
Okay, good. Oh, that's okay. Good. That's a good answer.
Oh, wait, I'm the teddy bear girl from the Caps game.
Oh, you're the...
It's the girl who screams out your name at the Cavs games, Mike.
Oh, okay. Well, you're a nut. How can anything you say have any credibility? You're totally certifiably crazy.
I'm a freak. I'm an absolute freak.
You are. But, I mean, at least you know it. That to me legitimizes it a little bit.
Hey, right? I'm really screwed up. I'll tell you that right from the beginning.
Are you still? We know that.
Yeah, I mean, this was years ago you used to do this to me at hockey games. Are you still screwed up?
I am. But, hey, I...
Why would you call Harvey, though?
Because, look, it was an honest thing. There's this little girl who is collecting suitcases and stuff.
Oh, Christ. Listen, don't even get into it. That's what this guy holds. This guy, Harvey Fisher, Jack Diamond, this jockey would not have a show if there wasn't cancer and multiple sclerosis and muscular dystrophy. Because this guy can't do an entertaining radio show to save his ass, but he's great at getting on the radio and, like, finding out, exploiting people. Like,
sure. Hey, you know, there's a little girl with cancer, and golly, what we're going to be doing is filling up a truck with food for her today.
Mainly so that people will call him up and say, gee, Harvey, you're such a great guy for helping out people.
The guy's a dick.
Yeah, I know he's a dick.
The guy is a jackass. And
I'll tell you the funniest thing about him. Here's the absolute funniest thing about him. Did you know he's getting divorced?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that's right. And very, very publicly.
Right. Now, this is a guy.
Girlfriend. What is she, 12?
This is a guy who's, in many ways, tried to pattern himself as I have, a guy who tried to put his wife on the radio and put his kids on the radio.
Right.
Okay, here's the one caveat in that. If you're going to make your wife a part of your radio show, and you're going to make your kids a part of your radio show, you know what you don't do? You don't divorce them and leave them for a girl who's in your folk music band. Okay? Because that kind of alienates your listeners who have heard you for years and years. A disc jockey with many crises, because not only is he obviously going through a midlife crisis, but he's also one of these disc jockeys that thinks he has to be in a band.
Yeah, right. Yeah, which is the most embarrassing thing of all, especially when you're, you know, like 60 years old.
So he leaves his wife. He leaves his wife to join this girl in this band. And how do I know this? I don't know this from scuttlebutt or from industry rumor.
Right.
I know this because the guy is such a jackass. He gets on the radio and talks about it.
Didn't you say he said something along the line, I'm going to be the best ex-husband in
your
life?
Yeah.
Oh,
God.
Man.
What a prick this guy is.
Girlfriend. How? I mean, I've seen her, like, in person.
Of course you have. You're a stalker.
I don't know anything about that. I just know what I hear on the radio, and I just know how awful that must be. For, you know, for his kids.
Yes.
I mean, his wife certainly knew what she was getting into when she married a schmuck like him.
I remember, I know her, and I remember way back when he was first seeing her, and she used to take his disc jockey. He'd come in, go into the office, and she would take all of his heavy equipment, his audio equipment from the record ops and things that he was doing. She'd take it out of the car and move it downstairs. I swear to God, that is a true story.
She deserves a good settlement.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice guy. I just feel for his kids, because the guy has portrayed himself as a family man and one of these guys who, like, have his kids call to show up and read knock-knock jokes out of books and stuff like that.
Right, right.
And, you know, I mean, the show is one thing, but, man, in real life, you know, if you have kids, you've got to stay with them.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking from experience, good luck with that that next relationship, too, which is the classic rebound, you know.
Yeah.
Leave the wife for the other woman. You know, those, you know, I think statistics will bear out that doesn't always work that well.
And now he's made his girlfriend a regular part of the show.
Oh, dear.
Like talking, dropping her name and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
She works there. She's like there all the time. She's there in the studio all the time.
Yeah, wait till the newness wears off for her and he realizes who she's really got a hold of.
She looks like she's about 14 years old. I mean, she looks like she's like a baby. She looks like she's like still hasn't gone through puberty.
Okay, thank you. You know a little bit too much about that relationship, but thank you for your insight. Thank you.
Yeah, guys. All right.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
She is. I remember her. I've never wanted to hit a woman in public before.
I love her. She used to call the show when Mike had Cap season tickets.
Right.
She would call us up and she'd say, Mike, are you going to be at the game tonight? And Mike would say, yeah. And I'd say, listen, when you see Mike at the game tonight, stand up and as loud as you can.
Now, she did. Wait a minute. I'm gonna tell the story the way it really happened. She called after she did it. She did it once and I was coming in and complaining. And then she called and she said, I'm the one who did that to Mike. And you just picked up and ran with that. You said, well, anytime he told me that he loves it. And anytime you see him at a hockey game, and you know, the weird thing is, like weeks would go by, and I'd go to a lot of hockey games, and then, man, when I was absolutely having the best possible time enjoying myself, she would walk up in a quiet moment in the middle of the aisle and stand there, stand next to, and I had the aisle seat when I had my season tickets, and she'd point at me and go, that's Mike O'Mara! And, man, it was always like at the happy moment, you know, when I was just really enjoying myself. And it was the way she did it. It was not like it was funny. It was just, it was completely mortifying.
Embarrassing.
It really was. Then I got my revenge on her because it was, I think, in the playoffs. And I used to know one of the ushers there who I'd talked to before the games. We, you know, he was the usher in our section. And I always talked to him. And we were talking about it. He said, you want me to take care of that? I said, you know, that would be terrific. And so she comes up and she says, that's Mike O'Mara! Like that. And bam, there she went to another section.
Escorted.
And that was, there was never any fuss or muss after that. I was very, very happy. I thanked that usher profusely for that. I said, thank you very much.
Well, Harvey deserves her.
Yeah.
I hope she becomes Harvey's number one fan.
Well, she'll hate us now because we blew her off, too.
Yeah.
She'll end up hating everyone.
Mm-hmm. Wacky. Harvey. What an idiot Harvey is.
Oh, my God.
Like, when you listen to a show, you're really hearing a guy who's going through a midlife crisis.
Absolutely.
He's doing it on the radio.
Right, exactly.
And he's just not bright enough to know that, listen, yes, do marriages fail? Yes. Do people get divorced? Yes. Are people's feelings hurt? Yes. But don't get on the radio and exploit that.
And talk about the new love of your life. You know, who you left your wife for, you moron.
Right.
You keep that down to a dull roar.
Right.
But part of the relationship, it would seem to me, would be because he's on the radio, so of course he's got to talk about her.
Right.
The new one, because she's there, she's in the band, she works there, she wants to be out front.
And I heard him the other day, listen to this, he's talking about, you know, he loves it when there's a car crash or something.
Right.
Because then he can talk about, you know, people that are in the hospital.
Okay. Right.
That's what this whole guy's show is based on him, like, you know, just trading on the woes of other people to
absolutely
make himself look better. So he's talking about this car crash. I mean, I remember what it was now. I swear to God. He's talking about how he pulls somebody out of a car, that he sees a car go into a ditch. So he stops his car, and he goes over, and he helps this woman out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, and I was thinking about this, thinking, what if that had been my daughter? Or what if that had been Lisa?
Is that the girlfriend?
Yeah. And then he says, what if it had been my daughter? Or would it have been Lisa? Or would it have been Pam? Pam is his wife.
Oh.
Right. So what he's doing is, he's just throwing it all out there.
And he's portraying the image that everybody's okay. That everybody's just fine.
All friends.
Yeah.
There's no animosity. Everybody's just A-okay.
Please, like his wife is happy with this.
Right.
Happy with the fact that he's left her for another woman.
Oh, man.
You know.
Amazing.
I mean, and I wouldn't be saying a word about it if he wasn't running his mouth himself on the radio about
it. Yeah, he's been very public about it. He's been very upfront about what's going on. Well, allegedly upfront. I mean, he spins it the way he wants it to be spun, you know. But mentioning the girlfriend, I mean, you know, it's like a death. You know what I mean? Of course, it used to be like a death. Well, you know, we talk about people the day after they die now. But, you know, you just, there's a cooling off period. And you probably always want a low-key the fact
that... Of course you do.
You have the girlfriend.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's pretty ridiculous.
I mean, you want to put some spin on that. You know, you want if you want to come out and announce that you're getting a divorce, you know, you announce it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say, hey, this is my new girlfriend.
What if that had been Lisa or Pam? Yeah, because I'm father to all. Didn't you say he was talking about having another family, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's got to make his ex-wife feel just terrific. Just Peachy and the kids.
And his kids.
Yeah, really feel good about that.
And his kids.
You know something? Let me tell you. I am the only one in this room.
He's a tool.
I'm the only one in this room that ever worked for the guy, okay? I worked with the guy. I know what he's all about.
And I feel for you, man.
I actually got out of the business for a couple of months and started my own little production company. I got out of radio because of Jack Diamond. I swear to God. I said, if everybody in this business is like this guy, I do not want to have anything to do with this. And it was it was early in my career. It was my first indoctrination into working at a radio station. It was like only the second radio station I worked at.
I thought the worst
at.
Experience you could have was being Jack
horrible.
Diamond being one of the first guys who would teach you about radio.
He was really horrible. I mean, he was not only was he an incredible phony, not only did he think only of himself, but he was just a bad human being. And, I mean, none of this surprises me. It really And what kills me is when you talk about him trading on the woes of others, which he does constantly.
That's this guy's whole show, man.
It is so much the opposite of him as a person that I knew. And it blows me away. It really, when I hear this, yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, thanks a lot. That's the real guy. I mean, yeah, thank you. Yeah, great. Okay, yeah, you're a professional broadcaster. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, slick boy. It's amazing, man. Let me talk about my girlfriend. I'll talk about my ex-wife. Talk about my girlfriend. Everybody will think I'm just A-OK, because I'm Jack. Yeah, I can talk about everybody. It won't matter at all, because I'm Jack, and they'll think I'm A-OK. Wrong!
Yeah, right.
Moron!
Right! And you got to know that someone at that radio station has come to him and said, listen, buddy, you know, you package yourself as a family man.
Sure.
You know. Low-key and about the girlfriend, and I've even heard him talk like about the girlfriend's underwear and stuff.
Oh, please.
You know, about
it's
like,
the crisis. It's crisis time.
Like he's getting a little strange.
He's going a little squirrely.
You know, he's totally bonkers in love.
You know, you should really do what you want to do, Jack. You should do what makes you happy, and our time together, you should be with me.
You know something? You're absolutely right. You know, I think Pam would understand. I'm going to tell her tonight. Then I'll go on the air with it tomorrow.
Hey, thank you.
And, you know something? I know it's controversial, but, you know, I think they're going to buy it. And I think they'll understand me because I'm Jack.
I can pull it off.
I'll talk about you.
Do you have any idea how many couples that listen to me every morning are divorced? I'm telling you, Bert, this is something that people can relate to.
Oh, yeah, Diamond. Yeah, okay. Yes, sirree, my friend. Hey, my friend, I don't have any brains whatsoever, and I have a voice that sounds like a sucked helium, but I'm going to sound as cool as you, my friend.
Hey, little buddy, I'm telling you, I'm going to pull this off. Here's our show meeting for today. We're going to come on the air at 6, and then we're going to do the horrible scopes. Then at 6:10, we're going to do the weather. And then what I want you to do is go to the police radio.
Yeah?
And I want you to listen for any car wrecks.
Okay.
Because if you can find us a good car wreck today, we can spend an hour talking about, like, getting a fund going for dead kids.
Yeah, Diamond. Yeah, Diamond, yeah.
Now listen, if my girlfriend calls, you put her right through.
Oh, Lisa, yeah, okay, yeah, she's hot. She's hot. Wish I had a girlfriend. But even though I'm on the radio, I can't seem to get one. Because I look like a rat. I look like a tanned rat.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, this TV commercial we're doing, Diamond, really sings. Yeah, my friend.
Hey, okay, little buddy. Hey, thank you. Yeah, so Lisa and I were watching some TV last night. Yeah, I mentioned she has a licorice-flavored song. Wild stuff. Hey, Pam's doing great.
Tell him, Diamond.
I'm going to have my kids on the show.
That's the other thing I'm talking about. He's still going to have his kids on the show.
Yeah, terrific.
You know, to talk about Pokemon. Yeah. This Pokemon thing is crazy.
Sad. You know, through all this, I do feel sorry for that. I mean, that's just so sad.
Here's what we heard today on the way in on carpool.
Okay.
You know, I mean, no bones at every station in town. We drive into school, and we hear him today. And, you know, I'm sitting there with Bart, and Bart's listening to this. And he says, Dad, why is he talking like this? And I said, because he's mixed up. He's going through a crisis. So what he announces today is that tomorrow he's going to bring one of his kids on the show.
Right.
To talk about the Pokemon. And then I'm going to take her to New York.
Because she's always wanted to go to New York. And we're gonna go to Saks, and we're gonna go to a Broadway show, and she wants to go to TRL.
Yeah, because I think it's important to point out that I'm just consumed with guilt to such an extent where I'm gonna fly her to New York, buy her everything she wants, tell her that Daddy had to leave Mommy because Mommy's not a good person, and I'll tell you right now...
I'm gonna get you on TRL, honey. Yeah. I'm gonna introduce you to Carson Daly.
It's gonna be fantastic. We're gonna have a good time, yeah. People will buy it. I'm gonna be the best ex-husband you've ever seen, because I'm Jack.
Yeah, right you are, Jackson. Right you are, my friend. Jackson, you're so controversial.
Oh, yeah, who's that one? Who's that?
Stacey Ben.
That show is funny to mock. It truly is.
It is. We're giving them way more time than they deserve, but it is too much fun.
They deserve it.
It's too much fun.
They deserve it.
Yeah, they do, Jackson.
Jesus.
I'll tell you right now.
Friggin' phonies.
Way to go talking about your girlfriend right after you get divorced, my friend. Good job.
I'll tell you something. They're really, and Mike knows this. We had people call us and tell us he was divorced,
mm-hmm.
and for the longest time, we deleted it out
right.
of our show, and people would call and say, hey, do you know Jack Diamond's getting divorced?
Right.
And I would hit the delete button, because mm-hmm. I think, I don't know if it's true or not,
sure.
and I felt bad for his kids,
yeah.
but then I get in the radio, I hear this son of a bitch talking about all this on the radio.
Yeah, they're going to, look, I'm going to talk about the girlfriend, I'm going to let everybody know what it is. Hi, how are you? Yeah, thanks for calling. Yeah, I'm divorced, and talking about my girlfriend's licorice panties.
We had a band gig this weekend.
The band gig.
Yeah, we were
at Nissan Pavilion next to the beer stand on a box. So we played the pavilion. And thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah.
It's like a classic story of a disc jockey gone bad, man.
And it's just a guy, you know, he is mixed up. And you do feel sorry for the kids in that situation. Because, and I think it's almost, it sounds to me, because I haven't listened to it. I've heard it once in the last month. And I tell you, it sounds to me like somebody who is... Really, if you want to hear the example of a midlife crisis,
yeah.
you can kind of listen to him talk.
And it's him, man.
It's free, and everybody deals with that kind of crap. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Listen, I can pull it off. I'll talk about my ex-wife, and I'll talk about my girlfriend, and I'll talk about my kids, and I'll talk about Jack, and I'll talk about sick people. And,
you know, as soon as people figure out what a heel I am, you mark my words now, little buddy.
Yes, Jackson?
Actually, we're going to have some kid with cancer call in.
Yeah.
And I'll turn that around, man. I'll start talking about that. You know what?
You are a genius, man.
You know how sometimes I pretend like I'm crying on the air when I'm really touched by something?
Oh, I love that. I tell you, my friend, that's really something special.
Look, here's what you do. Call Children's Hospital right now. I need a sick kid for the 7:20 break.
Okay.
Well, we got to have a sick kid at 7:20 this morning.
Alrighty, Jackson, my friend.
Got to do it right after the high-low jackpot. Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Yeah. He's worth it, folks. Believe me, he is worth it.
Really, he is. The son of a bitch, he is. We have to do a break.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Jackson.
Because, as you know, Mike and I are absolutely perfect. And we will be...
Yeah, right.
Right back.
This is the Dawn and Voice.
Yeah, I got a guest on the Sacred Sound.
So kiss my ass.
Huh?
Hello, John and Mike Show.
Take that.
Hello.
Robbie Spiewak, Robbie Spiewak, Robbie Spiewak. Dishes on Kerry.
Oh, hey, Rob, you got personal with that.
Oh, my. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how are you guys doing?
Hi, we're doing great. Hey, that party for Julie, what, was Applebee's booked tonight or something? Jeez.
Yeah.
You work somewhere, she must have worked there like 3 or 4 years, right?
At least.
You work here 3 or 4 years, that's the best they can book for you for a goodbye party?
No pool tables.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I just want to laud you with praises and just say how fantastic the Secret Sound game is. You've strung it out. I know what it is. It came to me at 5:30 this morning, and I've been able to reproduce it.
Right, I'm sure you do.
How fantastic a game you guys are doing, so thanks a lot.
I'm sure. Thank you, my friend. We have our latest guinea pig in here now. And never let anybody tell you that overalls is not a winning look, son. Well, what's your name, sir?
Zach.
Zach, where are you from?
From Springfield.
Zach, what do you do?
I'm a carpenter.
Okay, well, that would hence the overalls.
So you actually wear that for your job, so you get a free pass. You wouldn't wear that, like, just to go out in the evening, right?
No.
Okay, very
well. All right, well, let me take it back.
Absolutely. Okay.
Take it back. How will your wife feel about you getting the middle of your head shaved?
Well, she doesn't think I'm going to end up getting my head shaved. So.
She thinks you're right.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Put
everybody,
it on the line.
Everybody that's come in here to do this has had so much confidence, this guy included. It's fun to watch.
You know what, though, Mike? I'm gonna ask you to turn on your artistic side for just a second.
Okay, you know this one's going ear to ear. You're aware of that, right?
Because this guy's hair is so short.
But it's great. You know why the mohawk is the reverse mohawk would be the wrong thing?
Why?
He's got it really close cropped in the back. So right. The fact that I'm going to go right through the top, you know.
All right, side to side.
Right.
From ear to ear.
I thought here was a T intersection, frankly. Yeah. I'd like to take it up the front. Well, this is all, you know, with your permission, if you don't get it
really,
right.
Because really, you're breaking one of the main rules of this, in that your hair is so very short already.
Right.
Well, I understand that.
So what I propose to you is what I'm going to do if you do not get the secret sound.
When you do not get the secret
when
sound.
When you do not get right. The secret sound is I'm going to give you the loop from ear to ear, and then I'm going to meet
front
the loop
back.
From front to back.
That sounds
very
good.
He's okay. Agreed to the terms.
All right. Yeah. Well, good luck. Now, is this your guess or is this your wife's guess?
This is my guess.
Your guess. Okay.
Good.
Good luck. Same deal as all the callers.
Caller, name this noise.
Here's the noise. And now, for $900. And why can't you just wait to call in like everybody else?
I can never get through to you guys.
Okay. $900. We'll get your guess as soon as Mike sings. For $900.
Thank you very much.
What is secret sound number 5?
Is it the latches on a briefcase opening?
You're sorry. You know how many people have guessed that already?
You are an idiot.
A lot.
You are an idiot. We've had a million people guess that already.
Lots of people.
You know, I think we've actually even said on the air, it's not a stapler.
Right.
And it's not a briefcase opening.
We've said it repeatedly.
Yeah, I know we have. Okay.
All right. That's how many times have we had that guest?
Seriously?
At least five.
At least five times.
All right.
And I know that we've said on the air that that's not what it is. But here we go. Now, this guy's going to get the ear-to-ear. Now, are you doing directly above his ear, Mike?
Yeah, I'm actually just trying going in front of the ear. Why isn't this cutting, Rob?
You're all gummed up with hair.
We don't need to change the blades already, do we? We only cut like 3 or 4 guys' hair.
No, but we need.
That's why. It was back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Back there. Here we go.
There, now you're clearing a patch.
There we go.
Very much like a snowplow guy.
Yeah.
Reminds me of that New England Patriots game. When they sent the snowplow out so that the Patriots guy could kick a field goal when the field was all snowy.
All right, I'm going to need you on the other side. Here we go.
This may be the goofiest one ever.
He was certain. He knew it. His wife was certain. They knew it.
A Polaroid by any chance,
eh? There's one more guy?
Yeah.
Christ, when does this end? Bring him in.
This ain't a barber shop.
Bring him in. I mean, we do have other stuff to do on the show besides shave guys' heads who are wrong in this contest. You know, after this next guy, we're simply going to have to make it tougher for guys.
Yeah, I think so.
Going to have to make it tougher for guys. Or maybe open it just to ladies for this penalty.
Here we are.
Okay, are you done? Mike.
Oh, that looks wonderful.
Oh, my God. It looks like you just had brain surgery. All right, get out of here, sir.
Thank you very much.
Nice meeting you.
Take care.
Thank you for listening.
See you later.
Robbie, bring the next one in.
Oh, boy.
I'm amazed.
Long day at the construction site.
I will tell you right now that it is not a stapler, and it is not a briefcase opening or closing.
We have any spray in here, by any chance?
Well, Mikey's a working man.
Mm-hmm.
He's out on the job all day.
That's right. No time for wiping. All right, there you go. All right.
Oh, you smell poo?
No, I don't know what I smell. It's just gamey.
Bring the next guy in.
All right, you ready to get the clippers?
Let's just get this other one done right now. And then, you know what I think? I think we're just going to have to wait for ladies. We're not going to accept any more guys until a lady comes down.
Take a look underneath those clippers, too.
Okay. Let me see.
starting to get a little
it's
gamey.
A little gooey under their head.
Well, it is a little gamey.
There's been 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 heads under there so far.
Absolutely.
I think this will be the last guy for a while.
All right.
And then we just got to wait for a woman. And we'll double the money for a woman.
Very exciting.
But we're simply getting too many know-it-all guys coming down wanting to do this.
Yeah, especially when a guy comes in and guesses the same thing that like 50 people have guessed.
And they're wrong, and they don't care
if they get their head shaved.
No. Yeah, we got to get one of these guys who it really bothers.
All right, but, you know, it is the type of game.
Here's our next guy.
All righty. Come on in. Have a seat, sir.
All right, sit down.
Sit right down.
Take your hat off. Let me see how much hair you got. Your hair might be too short for this.
me see.
Yeah, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm going to have to disqualify
you. Yeah, too short. Hair's too short.
Your hair's too short for this.
I'm sorry. We hate to disappoint you, but would you like to say hi to anybody while you're in here? Just say hello.
No.
Okay.
All right, get out of here. Your hair's too short.
Thank you very much.
See, a guy with hair that short, man, that makes no big deal to him.
Bye-bye.
Getting a big splotch down the middle of his head.
Yeah, I wouldn't. We like the guy. Like the second to last guy.
Which
was perfect.
Yeah,
right.
Because he had long.
The David Spade lookalike.
Yeah,
right.
The guy that I did earlier today. Yeah. His hair was long and wavy.
It was perfect. And then in this guy, you know, the last guy, we were able to really carve him up.
Right. But you can't come in like that. That guy had like a military haircut.
No, no. So do you want to say anybody? No.
No.
Okay, man. Nice opportunity taken.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello. Can I guess what that sounded off the...
No.
Whatever?
No. Come on. Please. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Right. Hello there.
Good. How you doing? Hey, Mike, how about the Red Sox? You think we're still all right or what?
You know, I don't know. As I said to Don, I think in the office, or maybe I said it on the air, you know, it's all gravy right now. If they win some, they do. If they, you know, as far as they get, whatever. I'm still going to be happy about what this team did no matter what happens, but I was bummed last night. Like
I tell you, as a non-baseball fan, I did think they got ripped off on that call last night.
Completely ripped off. But, you know, if you look at the history, that's what happens. I mean, you know, if there's going to be a bad break in a game between the Red Sox and the Yankees, it will not land on the Red Sox side. We have a very negative attitude, and that is the reason why.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I have the answer to the secret sound.
Okay, you know what? We're going to have to get that button that allows me to electrocute people down the telephone line.
Yeah.
I don't give a rat's ass if you really have the answer or not.
Don't you understand how the game is played?
We're not doing a contest. You just don't call in whenever you want.
I apologize. I won't call back.
Good.
Well, good. Thank you. And is that a threat or a promise?
That's a promise.
Okay, good.
Good. Forever.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Christ, dummy.
Moron.
Jesus. Hello, Don and Mike show.
I can't believe I got through twice. You hung up on me, but I wanted to ask you a question.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a chocolate delivery for a Raymond Burr.
Okay. Here we go.
Okay. Hello, Don and Mike show. I never got on the air.
No, good.
Hello. From around the countryside. Young, smelly men came to the Don and Mike studios to get their heads shaved.
All with young, unbridled confidence, they stride into the studio, certain in the knowledge that their guess will be the winning one.
This is the story of the stupidest man of all. The man in the overalls. The man who came in, and when put on the spot, guessed the guess that had been guessed 1 million times before.
It was Briefcase. And yes, they had heard it from thousands, if not millions, of others. And he was wrong, and he was mocked, and he left with a T pattern in his scalp carved there with the shears.
And now there is a line of men around the block waiting to come in. Yet Don and Mike are waiting for the elusive woman.
Yes. One thing will never change about these men. They are all confident. And they all smell.
And they will all lose. Because as a wise man once told me, this secret sound is in-freaking-possible to figure out.
The end.
The end.
I'll tell you right now, you know, the secret sound, when you think you know it, it is absolutely, you're certain that you know it.
People are obsessed.
You are certain that you know it.
Don and Mike show.
Unleash the hounds!
It's release.
Okay,
it's release the hounds, not unleash
the hounds. We tell that guy every day, don't we? Hello, Don and Mike show. What do we got to do to learn you? Hello.
How you doing?
Hey, we're doing great, thank you.
Hey, two things. Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Red Sox, Bambino curse, what do you think?
I'm tired of hearing about it, but I don't know. It's so overblown.
That's a timely call. I've not heard that discussed on SportsCenter every second for the last...
I should have watched the whole game last night.
For the last 2 years.
Yeah, the curse, every single sign of Yankee Stadium, the curse. You know, it's a bunch of crap. It is bad luck, whether it's the curse, who knows.
Right.
I'm enjoying the fact that they're in the championship series, and if they win, they win. If they lose, they lose. You got to go, you know, at this point, I've tried to learn how to do it because it used to bug me so much.
I do think you made a lot of progress. I think you've really already resigned yourself, although you probably won't say this. You've resigned yourself to the fact that you know they're going to lose, and you'd be pleasantly surprised if they didn't.
What, you know, last night when I was watching this game last night, at the very beginning, I was very calm. Then they went up, a couple of runs. I'm like, well, they've gone up a couple of runs. That's not going to last. It's going to be fine. And then everything was fine, and I'm cruising along. And I said, oh, the Yankees tied it. Well, you know, that's to be expected. They're a very fine team. And then they got into the later innings. And then towards the end, there was a ground ball to the third baseman. And he threw it to a Knobloch. And Knobloch dropped it. And the ump missed the call. He missed the stupid call. Yeah, it doesn't matter when an umpire comes out after the game and
that's
says,
right.
I'm sorry, I missed the call. That doesn't do us any good.
Right.
It might make him feel better, but the moron missed the call, and that's the reason we lost the game. I'm sorry.
Like I said, I think you're handling it great.
Thank you very much.
What?
One other thing.
What?
You were talking about Farrell's.
Yes.
Your girlfriend from high school?
Yes, the ice cream place. She was not my girlfriend.
I wanted her to be.
Tried to ask her out. Like, she only went with me once to Farrell's, and we just went as friends.
But that thing that they ran around with, that was called the zoo. Do you remember?
All I remember is when someone had a birthday,
they
would bring like a stretcher in, and had four guys, one carrying each corner, and they'd bring this gigantic ice cream sundae in.
You say it was called the zoo?
And they had little animals all over the top of it.
The zoo, everybody.
All right, the wild zoo. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. I want to say happy birthday to Lisa.
That's right, Diamond.
Happy birthday to Pam.
You're the man, my friend.
We will be back.
Coming up.
Oh, good.
So stand by for that. Stand by for action.
Hey.
Get to that momentarily. And we've also got the trip to L.A. to give away.
L.A. is my lady.
Remember, for everybody that's won a prize on the show this week. And now I have an Ellen update for you. But first, there are calls on hold. Hello, Donna, Mike Show.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, I'm calling about that thing of Farrell's.
Yeah.
It's called the pig.
You mean the big ice cream thing they would bring out on your birthday?
Uh-huh.
Now, it's the zoo. Why would it be called the pig? Because it's so big?
Probably, because I remember as a kid growing up, we had that, and I remember them specifically saying it was the pig.
Did you eat any pigs when you were growing up?
I ate more pigs than I care to tell you about, Mike. How about you?
Yeah, quite a bit.
Buzz, you ever eat a pig?
Oh, probably.
Mm-hmm. I'd probably.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And Rob?
I love pork.
Of course you do.
Hello, Don and Mike. You
little piggy.
Hello.
Hello, Don.
Yes, hi.
Hey, on the Farrell's thing, I think it was called the trough, but they also had a slogan there that if you said...
Why is everyone having so much difficulty remembering what this confection was?
I mean, because this place was open 20 years ago.
The zoo, the trough.
But if you stood up and you said their slogan, you could get a free drink, and the slogan was... Farrell's features fabulous foods and fantastic fountain fantasies for frolicking, fun-filled, festive families.
You know what? I remember that. Do you remember that from when you were a kid?
No, because that came... I actually was here at the very... I arrived in D.C. at the very end of the Farrell's thing. I remembered it, but I was too old to go to a birthday party with that.
You're
never too old for Farrell's, Mike.
You're right, absolutely.
I love Don and Mike show.
Two words, facial prosthetics.
Okay, one word. Why?
Why?
The sound.
Oh, you mean to do to guys?
Huh?
Oh, you're talking...
No,
you,
on Fox. You know how they had that one episode where they show the facial prosthetics?
He's saying the sound. Is that like
a
guess?
That's the secret sound. I'm blown.
Don't do that. You're not supposed to do that. Not only is your guess wrong...
Oh, it is.
If I could come through the phone, I would strangle you. I swear to God I would.
That's the right guess, man.
Do you understand that we have a contest that we're trying to keep the boundaries around? Do you understand that? For the benefit of all the people that are playing the contest the right way.
I totally do, but I have a...
Well, No, you don't totally do. You don't totally do. You don't understand it. You're being a dink.
You're cheating.
And not to mention the fact that your guess, besides being retarded, is 100% wrong.
You're a very selfish person.
Thanks.
You're ruining the contest for everybody else.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
And you're wrong.
I'm right.
Oh. Yeah, right. You're right. So you'll hear when someone guesses that... And what was your idiotic guess?
A facial prosthetic.
Yeah.
Please.
Idiot.
Please. I got half a mind just to star 69 and give out your goddamn phone number.
It's really just, I mean, we're trying to do this. You know, there were two people. People want to call at the right time and play the game, and people that want to come down here, ladies right now, not guys.
No more guys.
Right. No more guys. We're taking a break on that, too.
No more guys.
It's the briefcase guy that made that happen.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Is it a briefcase open?
Hey, Don and Mike, great show.
Hi there.
You got too many morons in the audience, though, calling in today.
Thank you, genius. Thank you for that bulletin. Wayne, what's one more? What can we do for you?
Hey, Reno, Nevada thinks you guys are hot. Why don't you come out here and do a Vegas show?
Yeah. And you're calling to say that other people calling are morons.
would you be calling to say, when are we coming out to your city?
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Violation!
Yep.
Everybody,
absolutely.
It's really like preschool today.
They don't listen to the rules. Hello, John and Mike show.
We don't have a lot of them, Buzz. You know that? We really don't.
Half a dozen, maybe. No, the rules are simple.
Right.
Well, no, although we've had to add rules now with the contest.
Right. Yes.
Don't call for the contest if it's not the contest time.
Right, and don't call asking when are we coming to your city.
Right, don't ask us to rate women.
Mm-hmm. No
don't
jokes.
Don't ask us, who would you do? No jokes. Right. And please know your radio's down.
Right.
You know, tops. Mm-hmm. We got maybe 8 rules.
Absolutely.
Tops.
That's all.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
I just had to, I know you were talking about this earlier, but I caught that show. I was flipping through the channels. I thought it was a joke. I mean, I thought somebody was kidding. I mean, the guy, he had a guest on there, and he wasn't, like, listening to a record, but the guy's talking to him, and they're showing Imus, and every time they pan to him, the guy's got his chin on his chest.
Yeah.
He looks like he's dead.
Did you see the shot where they just went down to his talon, where they went down to his old, bony, spotted hand? Oh, my God.
It was disgusting. I mean, the man, I swear, I mean, I don't know. He needs some King medicine.
What, Robbie?
Another great thing, and this I got to credit my wife for, the first time she ever saw Imus, you know he wears those headphones that don't go over but sort of like clip on under his chin?
Yeah, so he can wear his cowboy hat.
Yeah. She said, is that oxygen?
Yes, it is.
Hello, Ed.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Just wanted to clarify for the millionth time. At Farrell's, the zoo was for like a family. The pig's trough was a 9-scoop banana split.
That's good.
Okay,
thank you, sir.
You know he's right, too, the way he said that.
Yeah. Hello there, Don and Mike show.
9-scoop banana split. I could eat that.
That is the sound of two dogs effing.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
There.
Hi
there.
Hello.
How are you?
We're great, thank you.
I'm good. My son told me to call you. My name is Ross. God bless my son. He gave me some...
Okay, stop.
Huh?
Why are you doing this phony old guy voice?
You're not an old guy.
You might fool Rockhead,
who
put on the screen... I'll tell you what Rockhead put on the screen.
Okay.
But this guy's name is Ross from Maryland.
That's right.
He is old, and he claims that Viagra really works.
It does.
Yeah, and this is why we must replace Mike Rockhead. Why we must get Christine Kerner back answering
our phone. Let's replace him today. Can we replace him today?
No, because he has his Yankees jersey on today.
That would be extra sweet. Him and his Bernie Williams jersey could go out the door.
This is why we must replace him, because he is such a buffoon that the listeners can call and listen to this.
I will come down there and prove it to you two young...
Who doesn't know that this is like some young guy pretending to be an old guy?
I'm not a young guy. I was born in 1938.
Oh, you're lying.
I'm not lying. Damn it, I'll come down there. Damn it, I'll drive down there myself.
You know he's going to see when he gets mad.
I'll give you the truth. You people, my son told me to give you a call. Well,
he doesn't hold the character when he gets mad.
I do hold the character. I am a character, damn it.
Yeah, you do hold the character. Yeah, right.
That was a good slip-up,
sir.
Where's your son at right now?
Probably in his office.
Uh-huh. Why don't you give me the number? I'll call him up.
Because he's a doctor, and I don't want you to bother him. He told me to call you to just tell you something.
I wouldn't bother him.
And
I would just like to hear both of you on the phone at the same time.
If you don't want to accept it, I really don't give a damn, okay? It doesn't matter. I could care less. I call up to tell you something because he thought it was funny. You don't want to hear it's okay with me. I don't really care.
All right, because you're some young guy trying to pretend he's an old guy.
No, I'm not a young guy trying to prove nothing. I wish I was. Although I don't have to be today.
Come on. Just drop the facade.
There's no facade here.
That would be really fun if you would do that.
What?
We would respect you a little bit more if you
I don't need your respect. I've had respect all my life.
Who was president the year you were born?
What?
Who was president the year you were born?
What, in 1934?
Yeah, I thought you said 1938.
4 years. Use your math, son. He was there for 4 years with Franklin Delano Roosevelt, for God's sakes.
What year did man first walk on the moon?
How the hell do I know? I don't follow space. I don't really care.
34 was not an election year, for one thing.
No, it wasn't an election year, but he was there. You know what? You're so goddamn smart. He was in the White House. Check your facts.
Yeah, he was president, sir, but you just quoted a year he was elected that there was no election.
I didn't say he was elected. I said in 1934, he was in the White House. He was also in the White House when I was born, which is 1936. Now, is that so confusing?
36
young
now.
Man?
I was,
now, you've given us three separate years that you were born. You've said now you were born in 38,
you know what?
34, and 36.
I don't care if you care, okay? I was doing something because my boy asked me to. That's all I was doing. If
right.
you sit and dispute over a goddamn date, you can dispute over it.
He's good. He's getting today. Better.
It
I will tell you right
he's
now.
He's working into
he's
a getting better.
Do that you can't do, I can hang up.
Well, there's a guy that just wouldn't give it up.
No, he's good.
There's a guy that just wouldn't give it up.
May I tell you something, which I rarely say on this show?
Yeah.
At the very end of that conversation, unlike the beginning, I had a shred of doubt. There was a tiny little shred of doubt. I thought he might actually be an old
410.
I'll get the number. I'll call him back.
He seemed a little too energetic for a guy of that age.
Yeah.
Sorry,
36 he would be.
36, that'd be 46, 56, 66, 76, 86, 96. He'd be 63.
Right.
All right, well, we got his phone number off the caller ID.
We'll call back. Rob's calling now.
No, I'm double checking. That's it.
Did he answer? I think it was credible.
No, I was just double-checking the number.
Oh, okay. All right. Hold on. I think it was credible at the end. There's something that told me maybe it was a young guy. And he had that Franklin Roosevelt answer. Bingo, right away.
But a young guy would have an encyclopedia because he knows that's the only question we ever ask people.
Sure.
Who was president the year you were born? Are we petty? You bet we are.
And good at it.
Unless the old codgers rolled over and had a fatal heart attack, I'd say that this would be a victory for our side.
Yeah.
That the young man who pretended to be an old man...
Old, who pretended to be old.
Who has gone back down to the basement.
Well.
Okay, 30 seconds ago, the guy was on the phone. Now he's not answering.
63, he would sound younger than that guy.
Yep.
Yeah, I think so. He wouldn't sound...
Goddamn, guys. I tell you, don't you dare hit me in the head. You know I'm not normal. Peterson?
This is Norm Peterson.
All right, well, there's no answer there, man.
Have Sloan out in front of the school.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to speak to Don and Mike.
Yeah, you're speaking to us now. Hello.
How you doing?
Great, thank you.
Make sure your radio is turned down.
What can we do for you?
This is not dynamite.
You realize that right now you are moving our show backwards.
Oh, okay. Sorry. An X. Why don't you shave an X when they're wrong in their heads?
Oh, idea guy. Why don't you just listen?
I have been listening.
Yeah, that's what O.J. said to Nicole. Why don't you just listen?
God.
Please.
O.J., after that 911 call, you got O.J. on the brain.
Don and Mike.
It's a quality control person.
Hello, Dennis.
It's our director of quality control for the Don.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Now, we did tell him to call back. Robbie, did we redub the crickets?
You know, actually, we did not.
Oh.
Dennis, and the quality control problem is on our end today. We did not redub the crickets.
Okay. Hey, Mike?
Yes, Dennis?
Don't worry. They will run it in six.
All right, Dennis. I'll go with what you say.
Hey, Don?
K-O-D.
I feel confident now.
Exactly.
Hey, Don, Mike?
Yeah, Dan.
Don't break a leg in Hollywood.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, by the way.
By the way.
It's my 40th birthday on Monday.
Happy birthday, Dennis.
Have a very happy birthday.
I'm going to miss calling you on my birthday.
That's going to be something I'll miss also.
That's a shame, Dennis.
Sure you will. You're going to get that. Have a couple of okay.
Dennis, I got from some of our off-air conversations at the house, he is passionately, desperately desiring a show of the kind that Buzz has enjoyed. I'm not lobbying for anything. I am simply presenting the facts.
Hasn't he received one for somebody before, though?
Yes, he had the girls in here. Remember, the Dr. Philgood's girls were all over.
Yeah, we've done that before. You just got one, Dennis.
I'm moved.
All right, listen, hold on. I'll give you one if you got a couple of male exotic dancers. If you want a couple of men to come down and dance in front of you, like with their big dildos and stuff.
Oh, gross.
It's gross. A very heterosexual Dennis Murphy.
All right, Dennis. Well, that's it. Take it or leave it.
Okay. Well, no, I'll leave it.
Okay. All right.
Mike?
Yes, Don.
We tried.
Well, hey, see, he thinks I'm an ally now. I told you, the relationship has changed. I put in a good word for you.
You're his big brother now.
But, Dennis, I will have you know, as soon as I brought that up, and then I remembered you were in here with that Dr. Feelgood show.
Yeah.
And I think that's overkill, so I'm really not your ally on this one.
Oh, okay. No problem, Mike.
All right, my friend.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to see a prospective client now.
You're going to see a prospective client for what?
Somebody wants me to do an appearance.
Oh, yeah. Very busy.
Well, good luck.
Hopefully.
Brush your teeth.
Huh?
Brush your teeth.
Hey, yeah, you know, this is Thursday. Did you go to your dentist appointment on Tuesday?
You know what, Mike? Everybody on this show is getting rich except you and me. Here's Dennis off to an appearance. You know how I spent my morning today?
Mm-hmm.
I spent my morning answering the telephone for my wife.
Right.
First, the guy from the radio station calls and says he needs Frida to go over copy for her commercial.
Right.
Then the next thing is the laser eye place wants to call. When is Frida going to be getting her eyes done on the show?
Mm-hmm.
Then they go, oh, we're trying to fax your wife copy. Then the production guy calls and goes, when is your wife coming down to do the commercial?
Everybody.
Everybody except us.
Okay.
What, did you do a commercial today?
No, but Tim came up to me like 2 days ago and is going to have me do one for a car place.
That's all right.
Hey, you know, you got that show, though. You've got your own other show.
Right,
you know, me, I'm a whore. I'll take anything I can get.
It's okay.
I think it's about time. Are you feeling left out of the equation here? Is that what it is?
Maybe a little bit. Yeah, but I got someone I'm doing a commercial for.
You
just
too.
Me.
We are all now officially going to have commercials
right
here.
I don't begrudge you. Good for you.
Yes.
Good for Buzz.
Good for Frida.
Good for Dennis. No. Frida's where I draw the line. Dennis, shut up. I'm kidding. Goodbye.
Okay. Hey, Mike?
No, I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Come on, goodbye.
Okay. Bye.
Yes, Dennis.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Overstate is welcome. Very upset about that dentist thing.
Man, very. Reason to be.
I told him that at dinner. I said, you really should do that. And, of course, he blew it off.
Right.
It'll be 14 years before those rotted shards get any attention.
Brush your tooth before you go out tonight, Dennis. Brush your tooth. Singular.
Here it is.
Hello, Don and Mike. Last call.
Yes, sir. This is Bill. My father just called your show a while ago.
Oh, now I know it's phony.
Come on, please.
Now I know it's phony.
How do you know it's phony, sir?
Oh, shut up.
Because you're the same guy.
I am, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you blew it.
Well, the thing that
now you completely blew it. I was really...
Attempted to call him back, or someone's playing games with him now. That's all I'm calling about.
Right.
Somebody rang back to...
Right, and you're a doctor, right?
That's correct.
Okay, well then, hold on, and I'm going to get your number off caller ID, and I'll call...
It'll be the same number, sir.
How could that be? What kind of a doctor are you?
I work in my own hometown as a hometown doctor is what kind of a doctor I am. And I'm going to tell you right now.
You're such a liar.
You may think that, sir, but you push too many buttons and you'll be apologizing publicly again. You understand?
Oh, please. Kiss my ass. You understand?
Point it out, you're all ass, son.
What?
Point it out, you're all ass.
Point it out,
what?
You're all ass.
What kind of a doctor are you, boy?
You see a boy in this room, you kiss his ass, and you're looking at yourself in the mirror.
Listen, this guy is so obviously
and this
the
is
same
to
guy.
Be the son now, who would be 63, the father would be, the son would be this old guy here. Yeah, very
no, I'm not an old guy. I'm 34 years old.
Uh-huh. And what kind of doctor are you?
I don't think I'm going to bother requalifying anything. I just don't want
to. Of course not. Where did you go to medical school?
I went to Harvard Medical School.
Oh, yeah.
Can you say what type of medicine you practice?
You're going to love the apology. You know that?
You're not going to apologize to you prick.
You won't have to apologize to me. You apologize to an audience, you asshole.
Oh. I'm not going to apologize to my audience.
What is the patella, doctor?
What, are you writing books on medicine?
What is the patella? Very simple, basic question.
Very simple, basic question for me to answer and not have to.
Listen,
first off, I'll call anywhere I want.
You will, huh?
Second off, the number I called, which is your home number, boy.
It is, huh?
Simply rang, okay?
Well, hang it up and you call it back then, boy.
Robbie, I just called the number. There was no answer. And can you explain, sir, why your own father said you were at work in your office?
Because it's a big house.
Oh, you're such a liar.
All I can say to you is call this number back.
Hey, let me tell you something, pal.
pal. I'm not your pal, pal.
Let me tell you something, buddy.
Buddy,
old pal. You are peeing in the big weeds right
now.
I do. All right? And you better be real, real careful how far you take this little charade. I'm going to tell you that one time.
Well, I do you in New Philly. How's that sound to you, Mr. O'Mara?
What's that?
Good day.
What did he say?
I don't know what he said.
Mention someone you used to know.
Oh, really? Billy? Like my ex-wife, Billy?
All right.
Oh, maybe that's your new husband.
Wouldn't that be Lerver right?
Okay, married a doctor, eh?
But he hangs up.
What a prick.
What a dick.
Please.
Unbelievable.
Jesus Christ.
Issues. Some issues.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don't you dare call, or you'll be apologizing to your audience again.
Please. Yeah, he thought about it, though. When we made that comment about the weeds, he knew it was time to maybe bail.
Yeah, you want to get in the deep end of the pool. Come on, buddy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Come on.
He went. He chose the right course of action. Retreat!
Hello?
Yeah, I'll get the secret sound. I'll give out my number.
No, we're not doing that anymore.
Oh, come
Thank
on.
You. Goodbye. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. The only way we're going to accept a guy now is if you would pull an OJ on yourself. Meaning, if you were wrong, you have to cut your head off.
Very difficult to do.
All right. If you want to go to the store, buy a guillotine, come down and cut your own head off.
That's right.
Then you can come down and guess. Otherwise, the only people allowed to come down and guess out of turn
are women who want to have the mohawk,
right.
Reverse mohawk.
That's
fair.
And that's absolutely it. Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, I just want to publicly state that the doctor is a dick.
Thank you.
All right, well, thank you. Thank you for stating the obvious.
Not that he's a doctor.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. All right, listen, I was never able to get to the stuff about Ellen and Ann.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Let me share that with you now. Or let's play commercials. That's a great idea.
That's a good idea. I had a big gulp of water because I thought you could only start on that type of thing.
Well, I looked at the clock and said, Jesus Christ, we're running late today.
Clock on the wall. It's the doctor's fault.
We will be back. I'll tell you about Ellen and Ann coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I don't want to talk to you. You've made me mad today. Don't talk to me. It ain't been easy living with you all this time, the things that you've done to me. Trying to pick at my brain what little bit's left of it. Hey, look here. I'm not all the way crazy.
Stay tuned for your chance to name that sound for up to $1,000 only on the Don and Mike Show.
And I took the butcher knife and held up to her neck. I said, if you want to live to see tomorrow, you better start frying them eggs a little bit better than what you're frying. I'm tired of eating sloppy, slimy eggs.
The mayors of Biscuitville.
I hear
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Here we are. Tomorrow we'll be in Hollywood filming our appearance on King of Queens. And since it happened so late in the evening, we're going to tape the whole thing and play it back on Monday's episode.
Yeah, we should give you a pretty good picture of what it's like to be behind the scenes shooting a sitcom.
So appreciate you listening to that on Monday. Las Vegas Style Show next Wednesday night will be at the Garage in D.C. And listen to this lineup. Now you've got all the usual fun. And since there's no Virginia Nazi ABCs coming by, that means you're going to have the Monica Lewinsky cigar game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe we'll get blood again.
Oh.
Also, we're going to have the underwear fashion show.
Mm-hmm.
The Homo Joe Challenge, the Cheryl the Big Dyke Challenge, and exclusive video of Dennis Murphy in drag playing gay bingo.
Who wouldn't want to see that?
All of that and Buzz wearing pajamas and painting girls with liquid latex and then peeling it off them.
Doing his Hugh Hefner impersonation. Do what I must.
All of that next Wednesday night at the Garage in D.C., 18th and Connecticut Avenue. Don't cost nothing to get in. It's our way of saying thank you for making the show number one Arbitron rated. We will see you next Wednesday night. And we got a ton of stuff to get to, and really, we got to get to it now.
Good.
We have a Highway Love Connection coming up.
All right.
Going to give away the trip to Los Angeles.
Ooh.
But first, I want to give you the Ellen and Ann update.
What is the deal with them?
Okay. We have two separate updates on this. First, we have a message from...
Okay, this is getting confusing.
The guy at the one station in Vermont.
Burlington?
Right. He contacted Ann Heche and Ellen DeGeneres' managers.
Right. That would be the kindly Mr. Ferguson from WEAV, right, in Burlington?
Right. Mm-hmm. He received this email back from Ellen's manager and then forwarded to us.
Right. Okay.
Dear Mr. Ferguson, I have forwarded your messages to forwarded your message on to Ms. DeGeneres. I expect to hear back from her within a week. Thank you.
Hey, yeah, that's certainly progress.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's getting to the right person.
Okay, so that's number one. Ellen's representatives have heard about the offer.
Yeah. Good.
That comes from the station in Burlington, Vermont,
which is
WEAV. Now, there's the other stations in Vermont.
Right.
And you remember yesterday when we called WSNO to find out if we were still on that station? You remember Marlo,
where's Barlow?
We received a letter from Barlow today.
Ah, Barlow, the busy Barlow, was having an extended lunch or an early dinner.
To Don and Mike from Ken Barlow.
Barlow!
And this is from WSNO, the talk station.
That's right. In White River Junction, right?
Or Barry.
Barry, Vermont.
Dear Don and Mike, hi, guys. Heard you were looking for me yesterday when I was out of town. I've caught up on your Ellen Ann idea and what's transpired so far. A couple of things. I used to be one of the owners of WEAV in Burlington. I'm the guy who put you on that radio station. We sold those stations to Capstar last year. I started a new radio group and purchased 18 radio stations and have put you on two of my affiliates. I heard about the promo that WEAV offered, and it's fine as far as it went. I classify that as a level 2 promotion. You guys need level 8. Here's my idea. One, we contact gay advocate groups in Vermont and nationally. They apply pressure to Ellen and Ann to get married in Vermont. Focus on gay rights nationwide. They can get to them better than we can. Two, we arrange for the marriage ceremony to be conducted on the Vermont State House steps here in Barrie and carried live on your show. We invite the governor, a congressional delegation, etc. The State House has been contacted, and a letter of intent is being sent to them this afternoon. We expect approval today. Three, you guys are a part of the ceremony. We get past red tape so you can actually legally conduct the service and marry them. I am running this past the governor today. Second case scenario.
It's a wacky state, isn't it?
Second case scenario, you guys serve as witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Four, I have already contacted all media. It will be covered fully. The local NBC, ABC, and CBS affiliates have told me they will provide packages to the networks. AP, based here in Barrie, is also interested and will cover. Five, we will arrange an all-expense-paid honeymoon getaway somewhere in Vermont. The Department of Tourism loves this idea. We will take the financial assistance from WEAV. After all, they're owned by AMFM and they have money. They can tag along on our coattails and present it with your show and our station.
Would this be the third station now that wants to get involved with this? All of them fighting for the attention?
But technically, two of them are owned by this guy.
Okay, so right. So he's got the one...
This guy owns WSNO and...
WNHV.
Right, the station...
In White River Junction.
That's by New Hampshire.
Well, it was suggested yesterday that this is a cooperative effort.
Right?
It should be. It really should be, and you know, I think that it can be.
Okay, then he writes, these are just ideas that I've come up with this morning and have acted on. I think my ideas makes your idea much more of an event. I'm available at phone number anytime if you'd like to discuss.
Very good.
P.S., do you remember when I met you guys in New Orleans at the Westwood One Hospitality Suite?
I
look like David Letterman because of space between my teeth.
I remember that. I remember the guy. Very nice guy. Very nice man.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, great. Mm-hmm. The guys from WEAV in Burlington, Vermont,
they're on top of it,
have contacted Ellen's management. That's great. The people at WSNO have already contacted the governor of Vermont.
We're all going to make it work
That's
together.
Great.
We're going to, here we are, sitting squarely in the middle, and we will bring these forces together.
I see no reason that these stations cannot work together.
It sounds to me really like they probably will work together on this, if it transpires.
Right, and it basically sounds like the people at WSNO don't have the money that WEAV has, so maybe WEAV would be the lead station and WSNO would be the second station.
Or the people at WSNO are cheaper than the people at WEAV. Ah. That could be the issue also.
Could be.
But they sound connected.
Mm-hmm. Well, either way, we know that two of our three stations in Vermont are all over this, and that's great that they've responded. And what's really great is that Jim Ferguson from WEAV actually got a hold of Ellen's manager,
right?
And got a reply back.